allowed that the committee meeting must then appoint the next interpreter for the thing. Now I would like to request him for the nomination of the committee.
I propose the name of Honorable Maina Isuma Hade.
Send for me, is there any second?
Yes, sir.
Second, we have Mr. Tom. Would you take the position?
Yes, just take it for now.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you once more to allow me to chair this meeting for today. You are all most welcome, and also today myself also I'm most welcome. We'll first deal with the housekeeping matters, honourable members. One is an apology that we have received. We have received the one that our committee secretary has just outlined earlier on, Honorable Dr. Khoza, Opsik, Honorable Makawuse also, and Honorable Shengwa, with the reason for the two honorable members because of other parliamentary commitments that are clashing with our committee for today. And Honorable Kassim, delayed you join the meeting, however. Then Honorable Nami Boy is attending SCOPA. Honorable Mati Wazan is at the Intelligence Committee. That's an apology that we have received. We have received as well apologies from both ministers and deputy ministers, DM, DPSA, Chair of the special issue that she's attending to at home. Honorable Mutambi, abroad, Minister Mutambi, Minister Khadebe attending Cabinet IMC committee that he's chairing. Honorable Manana, I'm not too sure about the reason, but we did receive also a communique in terms of the apology. Any other apologies, Honorable Young Lord? Because also of the traffic and people were not too sure about the road situation, so they would be slightly late. Honorable Vema also, she did indicate, I really forgot about her. She will be delayed, but she's on her way as well. There was a tree blocking her street coming out from the house, something like that, due to this funny weather. Hopefully, it will be before 11 when the weather gets worse than today, than what it is currently. With that, honorable members, I will then probably before I go too far, let me just pause there and see any comments from honorable members.
Place the soul with truth.
guiding document in terms of the people standards as it were. If I'm
just correcting an article. Instead of so, we say do.
Okay.
Not the notice.
Okay. Because I would suggest, because honorable members, for that line, thank you for raising that. That the purpose of the presentation was to for the department updating the committee in terms of the progress in terms of if we may call it the third generation of the system center model as it were. So the spirit of this president should have said that it has been an ongoing concern activity that needs to be concluded as soon as possible. I think it should reflect as such, because we were saying that they must speed up then the finalization in terms of the cabinet decision so that it can be such implemented, so that departments then all the housing of the two zone centers as it were, because there were also moving that it should be under quarter, so that it should be something that says that the process must be speed up, other than it seems like they have been dragging it too much long. Is that okay? Then we put in a better English so that it makes sense. Thank you. Honourable members, let's go to page 4. Normally silence is golden. Page 5. Okay. Shall we get a mover and a second, honourable members? Thank you, honourable members.
I move that the minutes of the 24th of May as amended be accepted.
She moves, honourable Doc, the second. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, honourable members. Then we are glad with the few minutes. Thank you so much. Today we are supposed to have a meeting with the report. Bear with me that we step down at point 4. Point 4 becomes point 7. We start at point 7. Because my understanding as well was that the new board chair and the deputy chair were meant to join us, and I don't see the faces. I will request that while we're dealing with the FMB, a national youth policy progress report, then you attend to that one, CONYDA. Dr. Siki and Dr. Rasala, I'm not too sure what's going to be leading us on behalf of the committee. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Good morning to the Honorable Members and my colleagues. I am just representing the Acting Director General, Ms. Makin, today in this meeting. Dr. Shagala is the one who is the head for the policy for the youth. Unit in the department, so she will make the presentation. I just wanted to make the comment that the implementation of the National Youth Policy should be viewed not in isolation with the work that the NYDA is doing, because they are in fact implementing the National Youth Policy. However, we have got the responsibility of oversight as a department, as well as monitoring the policy. Now, Dr. Shagala will take the committee through the progress made so far, as well as the challenges that we have experienced in the implementation of the policy. Over to you, Dr. Shagala.
Okay. Before, over to her. Just for the sake of benefit for interest, probably even members of the board. Are you now the semi-permanent acting, or it's for today, and how far is the process in terms of ensuring there's a permanent DG? Because you can't monitor, you can't also monitor what is supposed to be monitored.
Thank you very much,
Chair,
for that question. Mr. Makina is still the acting director, however, we have advertised the closing of the business, and interviews have been conducted, and we are expecting to have the new business appointed, I think, in March. It should go to cabinet, if I'm right. committee shall soon see the new director general in the PME. So I have been just playing, because I'm in the leadership in the department, I play just the active role when the DG is not here.
Okay, no, thank you for that.
Is to assess the portfolio committee on progress and challenges regarding implementation of the policy. The Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation has got a mandate to ensure development and empowerment of young people in the country. And in that regard, the National Youth Policy 2020 was developed and approved by Cabinet in 2016. The National Youth Development Agency was previously responsible for monitoring implementation of the National Youth Policy 2020. In terms of the NYDA Act, Act 64 of 2008, the National Youth Development Agency has the mandate to initiate, design, monitor, and implement the National Youth Policy. However, in 2016, after developing its turnaround strategy, the agency transferred the policy development function to the PPMC. That was in recognition of the fact that the mandate of the agency was too short. And that policy development function was just referred to PPMC as the parent department. How important to note is that the function was not followed by financial and human resources. There was no transfer of funds or human resources to be responsible for policy development. There are various challenges and hindrances that we have identified in implementing the policy. First is the fact that even though the policy is implemented by multiple stakeholders, there is still inadequate human resource capacity across the three spheres of government. We know that even in instances where there are youth heads in departments at national, provincial, and local government, you would find that those heads simply are not sufficiently capacitated. At most, you find 2-3 people responsible for youth development. And there is also poor conceptualization of youth programs with many being event-based. Most of the time when you hear about youth development is during the youth month in June, you find that there are no continuous programs that are sustainable in order to be delivered for young people. And that is exacerbated by level and capacity of youth focal points within the youth. Most of the time you find that those youth focal points, they are appointed at a lower level, either as officer or admin assistant director level, and at times you find, actually most of the time you find that they are not even well versed in terms of what youth development is. We know know that if you are talking about mainstreaming, you need to have knowledge in terms of lobbying for mainstreaming of programs. So if you are at the lower level, it becomes almost impossible. There is also insufficient budget allocation for development programs. The budget is not allocated for youth development. There is inadequate and ad hoc reporting. Even presently, you find that the reports that we received on implementation of the youth policy, they are done on ad hoc basis. Lack of uniformity in reporting because there is no monitoring and evaluation framework, and there are no standards and nonsense standards in place. You will find that there is disparity in terms of reporting on youth development. Inaccuracy of data that is presented most of the time is also not verified. The portfolio committee should, however, note that even though we are experiencing these challenges, the DPME has initiated some processes in order to ensure that we address the identified hindrances. First, we realize that there's a need to create additional capacity for youth development to monitor implementation of the youth policy. In the DPME, there's a need, that need was identified, and the youth desk is now being upgraded to a youth directory. So the issue of additional human resource capacity is being addressed. Developing accessible monitoring and evaluation framework for all those implementing youth programs. Then the M&E framework is being developed to track implementation and to assess if youth development activities are achieving the desired results. Presently, we already have the youth the draft framework which is in place, and it will be soon be presented to cabinet for approval. Monitoring implementation through outcome facilitators responsible for presidential youth working group, youth policy work stream, and this is in line with the five policy imperatives. We said that we cannot put on hold the process of tracking youth policy implementation, and then we have sourced the existing human resource capacity within the department in the form of outcome facilitators to assist us in ensuring that they monitor implementation of the policy. The key focus of the national youth policy is definition of young people as those between the age of 14 to 35, and this is in line with the African Youth Charter, which already defines young people as those between the age of 15 and 35. And there are five key policy imperatives which the national youth policy focuses on: economic participation and transformation, education skills and second chances, healthcare and combating substance abuse, social cohesion and nation building, optimizing youth development machinery. These are the five key pillars of the national youth policy, and each of these pillars is being monitored by outcome facilitator, with the last one being monitored for by us within the youth directory. The expected outcome of the national youth policy, these outcomes are related to each of the pillars. With the first pillar of economic participation and transformation, we are envisaging that there should be greater economic participation of young people and the reduction in unemployment rate. For the second pillar on education and second chances, we are envisaging that there should be enhanced skills development and second chance opportunities for young people. And this is mainly focusing on increasing enrollment of young people in second chance programs. Third pillar on health and substance abuse, we are looking at the improved health status, and the focus is on both physical and mental health, and also combating dependency-creating substances. And then the third pillar on social cohesion and nation building, it is envisaged that there should be increased social cohesion, and this would result in greater participation of young people, particularly in volunteer activities. The last pillar is the enabling pillar, which talks to optimization of youth development machinery. And this, we are envisioning that there will be increased capability of the NYDA and the youth directorate nationally, provincially, and locally to drive youth development agenda. In this, we are actually advocating for to try to reduce the burden of youth development on the agency. So we are saying that everyone across the three spheres, all government departments, also civil society and private sector, they should be responsible for delivering on youth development. There are highlights of achievement on each of the pillars. I'm just going to highlight some of the things, not go through everything, although they are included in the report. The first one is the articulation policy, which has been finalized. And this is an inter-institutional pathway that is going to allow vertical, lateral, and diagonal articulation between two or more cluster institutions offering institutions of higher learning at different levels. Here we are saying that young people should be able to move from private colleges, community colleges, even to universities. So there must be clear articulation of education programs. Increase the participation rate in private colleges. And here we are actually advocating for young people to apply even to TVET colleges. Focus should not only be to universities. We have highlighted the increase in the headcount involvement and the fact that University of Western Cape was accredited to offer postgraduate qualification to TVET lecturers. So we are actually emphasizing TVET colleges and that the young people should actually find those attractive. We have also highlighted various national skills fund projects and the amounts which are actually invested in those projects. On community education and training colleges, we have got increasing number of learners who are enrolled in both private and public adult education and training centers, which are to be converted into community education and training colleges. And the National Skills Fund also committed about 161 million. Free education for poor learners until undergraduate level. The Minister of Finance announced substantial additional funding for poor students through Department of Higher Education grants in his 2017 budget speech. And we have indicated the amounts that have been added to starting from the year 2017-18 to 2019-20. We can see that there is allocation that has been made for both new and entrants as well as returning students. Other funding opportunities also include funding by CTAS. CTAS has funded over 19,000 students to study at various higher education institutions. And there is also funding of foundation programs, particularly within universities, because we know that TVETs don't have foundation programs. On research and development, there is emphasis on the importance of research, and the National Skills Fund has also allocated 296 million in that regard. So we also see that there is investment on research by master's graduates, and we have got increased number of females who are conducting research in comparison to their male counterparts. Preparation for youth for the workplace. Here we are. The report indicates that there are programs in place which are actually preparing young people to transit to the workplace. And these are also funded through initiatives by CTAS, where they fund learnership, internships, and workplace experience. And then the incentive to attract young people into the teaching profession because of decrease in the number of teachers, we are encouraging young people to also take teaching profession. And there is 20,000 teacher education graduates from the university, and then with many being females compared to males. Career guidance services, here there is a policy which DHET has developed on career guidance, and there are also programs in place for career guidance, and those include CATA radio campaigns as well as Apply Now campaigns. And most of these, they actually encourage young people to look for opportunities, particularly within TVET, and to also look at opportunities such as artisanship and CISA learnership. There are also highlights on high healthcare and combating substance abuse. Here, the Sports Education South Africa successfully lobbied the implementation of digital infrastructure grant for provision of sporting and recreation, especially in rural areas. And the National Department of Health is also revising the provision of adolescent and youth health services, and the policy in that regard. And again, there is more focus on substance abuse. In this regard, the Department of Health, the Department of Social Development is also partnering with institutions of higher learning to intensify education and awareness of abuse of students. Achievements on nation building and social cohesion. Here we are saying that there's a need to use young people as instruments of fostering social cohesion within their immediate communities. And in this regard, young people should familiarize themselves with the constitution and the values contained within it. This is with regard to bills of responsibility, which is already printed in the white book. And then, the youth are encouraged to recite the preamble, which embodies the values of the Constitution, and this may also help them to internalize those values. Over 25,000 in 129 schools were able to recite the preamble during the 60th commemoration. And then, also, the Feed My Soul campaign also calls for inclusive and decolonized higher education. And then finally, the Department of Arts and Culture, as the leading department on social cohesion, is also involved in ensuring that national symbols such as national flags continue to be available in schools and institutions of higher learning. And there are also attempts to install the African Union flag as well. And then there are also additional efforts in encouraging young people to become to tell their stories through film making. And for the financial year, for this present financial year, 66 projects are being financed. We know that in 2016, young people were also involved in the film which marked the 40th anniversary of the Soweto Uprising, and the 60th anniversary of Women's March film was also released this year, including the telling the story of Solomon Mahlangu. The last pillar is that of optimization of youth development machinery. And the first sub-outcome is that of institutionalized, well-coordinated youth work, and we've already reported on increasing capacity of the directors in the DPM for coordination of group work nationally, and then also increasing responsiveness and accountability to the youth. In this regard, the department is amending the NYDA Act from Section 75 to Section 76 so that services can and products of the NYDA can be expanded to provinces as well as to local level. And the bill is already in place and it has been submitted to the State Law Advisor for finalization and will soon be released for public comment. The monetary and evaluation framework, we've already indicated that this will soon be presented to cabinet. The third outcome is that of improving mainstreaming of youth development. In 2016, there was cabinet decision to say that there should be youth desks across all the spheres of government and they should be strategically located. We applaud the fact that many departments have established such structures. However, we have also noted worryingly that in some cases the youth desks or directorates have been disestablished. There is a need to further lobby and advocate for establishment of these structures in order to ensure and also to ensure uniformity and adequate resourcing. Improved intersectoral collaboration. In this regard, we are collaborating with the civil society in providing youth development services, and the South African Youth Council and other civil society youth formations are engaged, and there is a need to build capacity of South African Youth Council as the voice of young people. And in this regard, it is recommended that five be legislated either through development of the new legislation on the NYDA Act. And the other intervention is establishment of a national technical coordination committee consisting of multiple stakeholders. And whereas DPME will coordinate at national level, we are hoping that the offices of the premier will also coordinate provision. On professional and ethical behavior of within the youth sector, there's also a proposal for UNISA to establish an institute for youth development in order to train youth workers. Condition and recommendation, it is clear that nothing compels national, provincial, and local government departments to budget for and implement the National Youth Policy 2020. There is a proposal to be made for development of the National Youth Development Act, which will bind all stakeholders, government, civil society, and private sector, to ensure that they adequately budget for and implement the National Youth Policy. We have noted that there are data gaps due to lack of M&E framework, and also we have noted that the establishment of youth desks across the three spheres of all government is also applauded. However, in instances where there are no youth focal points, we are actually urging that such structures should be established. And then the development of an M&E framework will also enhance uniformity and reporting on youth development. We are recommending to the portfolio committee that they should note this monitoring report for the National Youth Policy 2020. Note that implementation of the youth policy is the responsibility of government departments across all spheres, NYDA, civil society organization, and the private sector. And request the portfolio committee to advocate and lobby for capacity creation for youth development in the form of youth directorates that are responsible for youth policy oversight, coordination, implementation, monitoring, and evaluation. And also that the portfolio committee should advocate and lobby for allocation of adequate financial resources for youth development. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. Honourable members, I'm tempted to make a suggestion because if you listen to the presentation, in a way, it does also going to overlap with the with the second item in terms of the program that introduces the facilitation of the young people employment or to be absorbed within the economy space. Is that okay? So that then you can do them as one. Silence is golden. I can see Honorable Ntau is agreeing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because I also gone through the presentation. They do interlink. Not let alone that he talks about youth, but the content thereof, it does overlap. With that, Honorable Members, let me welcome Honorable Velma. We did receive your apology. You are most welcome. Thank you so much for coming. And may I then, I'll request Dr. Nsiki then to do the honor to introduce the new chair and the deputy chair and the NYPA team as well, that it would include the CEO as well, and then I will take up from there. Can you do that, Doctor? Please, Doctor, take it.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Today we've got the honor of being joined with the newly appointed board for NYPA, represented here in by the chairman of the board, Mr. Zeni, who is the chairperson of the NYPA board. And he is deputized by Ms. Mavelile Shoba, who is on the extreme right. They shall be taking they will make open remarks in terms of the work of the NYPA and the
the family now, which is the gentleman who has just joined us, and there's a young lady here, she's carrying an NYPA bag, so that we know who's who in this meeting. So everybody must be accounted for. Be funny because we must know so that we know what the role of anyone who attends so that there are no cases with this report.
Thank you, Chair, because I don't see who is telling the next. Just ask the CEO to introduce whoever he can.
Okay, you'll do that. With that, before I allow you, the Chair will hand over to you. Mr. Mpuri and Ms. Songwa, you're most welcome. We wish you all the best. I must also say on behalf of the committee that we are we might in terms of above 35 some of us, but in terms of our engagement and doing our role, oversight role, we are very robust and very young. But we are doing that within the spirit of making sure that at least we still give hope in the young South Africans that are looking up upon us in terms of pursuing their agenda as it were. But also the second point that I'm sure all honorable members will agree with me is that we work as a committee, not as political parties. So whatever engagement that we do it as a committee, notwithstanding that we are a multi-party committee as it were. All political parties are presented in this committee, notwithstanding that we have received the apologies. Other than that, we wish you all the best, and we wish and hope and trust that you are going to ensure that within with your leadership that the good work thus far that has been demonstrated in the last 3 years of not only ticking the box but also ensuring that predetermined objectives of the NYDA within their plan also are achieved with a clean financial protocol that has been observed thus far. But also you ensure that you bring a good energy, a positive good energy that will say all other things that Dr. Sagala has raised in terms of speeding up the issue of making sure that the Act also does find its way towards Parliament before. Hopefully we would love not to be pressed, to be under pressure, when we are moving towards elections, which will be towards June next year, because by that time we'll be towards closing up. If we can get it as soon as possible, you convey that message, so can give it to the minister responsible for that, but also even the policies and the changes thereof, would love to have them on time. But on behalf of the committee, also would love to say any changes in the business plans which are approved by Parliament, before those changes are made or implemented, we would love to have the understanding of the rationale, because at the end of the day, the department and the agency report and accounts to this committee on behalf of Parliament. With those few words, you are most welcome, Mr. Nsemi and Honorable Mstongwa. Over to you, not Honorable, Mr. Emily. Chairperson, NYDA, over to you, Chair.
Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members, colleagues that are with us. Indeed, my name is Fiso. My surname is Nzwe. I don't understand why sometimes people tend to struggle. Nzwe in Ndebele, or Ndebele, Ndar. But we'll deal with that some other time. Thank you very much, Chair. We also warmly appreciate the welcome that we have received from the committee. And as we have correctly said, I'm accompanied by the Executive Deputy Chair, Ms. Bavin Lekhongwa, who regularly will be accompanying me, particularly to this committee meetings and the other business of the agency. The Chief Executive Officer is also here, and one member of the executive, whom he will introduce as he does the presentation. But quickly on our side, Chair, We've obviously gone through a parliamentary process of interviews. You would know that the NYDA has been without a board for over 13 months, in fact. You know, there was a transitional accounting authority which was led by Dr. Matia. There was a rigorous process which was led by some members of this committee that produced the seven of us, and the president has since appointed the chair and the deputy chair. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been appointed. We've been hitting the ground running, Chair, because we understood that there was a bit of a vacuum that was opened over some time. And we immediately could sense that young people have been yearning for the NYDA. They have been yearning for leadership of young people at that particular level. So over the last couple of weeks, we've abreast ourselves with the operations of the agency. We've looked at the work that was done. We've had our induction at the board. We've actually identified a few things that we believe would be overarching strategic aspects that the agency ought to take. But I think I must mention as well that it's only this week that the board will have a strategic planning session where we are really going to now approve the annual performance plan, where we are going to now start prioritizing issues in terms of budget allocation and so on, where we'll then obviously also develop and adopt a program of action. But I think beyond that, Chair, a few things that I think we may want to put to the committee, and I think also they emanate from the presentation that was made before. I think one, we want to say to the committee that it is not our intention to rock the boat, to use those words. We believe that we're entering an institution that is well run. You know, governance systems are in place. The financial management system of the organization remains in place. So from the board's point of view, we still feel that colleagues at the level of the executive have been doing some good work. So it's not our intention to come with a, you know, there's a saying that the new brooms, they sweep clean. So we are not here to sweep anyone. We are just here to reinforce and ensure that the agency continues the good path that it has been on. But at the same time, to bring renewed energy and really start to look at issues outward. Because you see what has happened, Chair, over the last 3 years or so, is that the agency began to be inward looking in terms of how it discharged its duties. Of course, this is because when the agency was started around 2008, it did not necessarily have a very good image. Firstly, it was viewed as an agency that seeks to serve interests of a particular youth formation. At some point, we hosted a festival that did not do us a lot of favors, you know, in 2010. Where you know, issues of financial mismanagement were raised, wasteful expenditure, and so on. So that necessitated the board that was succeeding to start looking at how to clean up the image of the agency, how to put financial systems in place, how to put government systems in place. And I think they have done well in doing that. But the unintended consequence of being inward looking is that we tend then to neglect the end user on the other side, which is the young people. Young people have been complaining that the agency is too far from them. You know, it's doing good work indeed, but it's far. You don't get the NYDA in townships. You don't get the NYDA in rural areas where young people are, particularly the unemployed. Those who really need the services of the NYDA. The NYDA at this moment has about 15 branches in a country that has over 45 districts. That on its own is a mismatch, you know. In some cases, and I've made this example, that in this province of the Western Cape, you only have one branch, which is in Cape Town. And you've got a place called the Plettenberg Bay, which is 485 kilometers from Cape Town. So for a young person who's in Platte to access services of the NYDA, it's a mountain to climb, you know. So one of the first things I think we have agreed at the level of the board is that we'll start to make or to push for the agency to start being visible. There are some creative, aspects that we are proposing to say that at least the agency must start being visible. We said that we are going to engage, you know, two song centers. Another thing that we said, because the Act, by the way, Chair, does give the NYDA some level of, I wouldn't say powers, but responsibility. But I would then say powers as well, because the Act does empower the agency to play a mainstreaming role, to play a coordination role of youth development across the board. So you find that many municipalities have got youth units, provincial government departments have got youth directorates and so on, but the left hand does not know what the right hand is doing. For instance, in the Ekurhuleni municipality, there has been an injection of about 2.6 billion into youth development just in one municipality. And yet, the resources of the NYDA are just over 400 million. Close to 50% of that particular budget only goes to salary. So we are going to discharge that particular responsibility of playing the mainstream role and the coordination role. So We want to convene Dr. Benis, all those youth units in the immediate, so that we then present one youth development program in South Africa, so that a municipality in Owan Tambo in the Eastern Cape and a municipality in Skukune in Limpopo discharge a youth development program that will then be coordinated at the level of the NYDA. But also, we want to speed up as well through the presidency the finalization of the integrated youth development strategy, because that is also another thing that has been just ready that we'll try to speed up. But one thing that Chair, we just want to flag, of course, after the stress planning of the board, we'll then be able to bring a fully fledged program. It's to say that, you know, given the resource constraints that are there at a particular moment, we do have an understanding and an appreciation that a lot of departments of government have got budgets of youth development, you know, although many don't even know how to utilize it. So we're going to start assisting them. We believe that outside of the resource constraint that is there, there are two funds that we'll look at establishing. One, the Youth Entrepreneurship Fund, that will purely look at, you know, assisting youth owned businesses. What we'll be doing with that particular fund, of course, we'll set up an investment committee that will be looking over and presiding over that particular fund. But our need to go to the public sector, to the private sector, to say, here's a fund that you must actually start investing into, so that we start looking at the real SME development, particularly of youth owned businesses. But the second one is the skills fund also, where we're able to also go and mobilize, government, private sector to say, let's start investing in the skills development of young people. Whether it be skills in mining, whether it's skills in even soft aspects such as welding, those who want to be mechanics, those who want to do, so that you have a fund separately that will be able to start assisting young people on those particular things. The CEO, of course, will expand on some of those aspects. So, Chair, I think in conclusion, so that we can then allow the CEO to take us through the presentation as requested, is to say to the committee that there is new energy now in the NYC. We'll be all over the show. I think one thing that maybe you may one day want to come and make us account. We are not going to be a board that sits in the boardroom or behind the air-conditioned office. We are going to be a board that is on the ground. We are going to be traveling to every corner of South Africa. We are going to go and talk to the young people and say to them that the agency is here. The agency, try to explain to them the mandate of the agency as well. Because sometimes young people don't even understand the mandate of the agency. Young people come into the agency and expect that when they leave the door, they must be assisted. So we are going to be all over the show. We will play our advocacy role. We'll advocate in government, we'll advocate in parliament, we'll advocate in the private sector. We'll ensure that the voice of young people is heard through this particular agency. Without saying more, Chair, I think through you, if we can then go ahead with the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. I'm tempted to ask Ms. Soha, do you want to say something? You'll be leaving?
No, I'm saying I'll be very brief.
Oh, okay.
I'll be short.
Okay. Over to you, Madam.
Good evening. I'm already short. Let me just say all members of the portfolio committee and indeed, like the chair said, we really appreciate the warm welcome. And the NYDA board just expect a useful approach on how we're going to be doing things. Expect that we are not going to work according to the normal of let's try and fix things here. When we need to introduce new things, we introduce new things. And I think we want to look for support from this particular portfolio committee. When we bring new things that have not been done in South Africa, let's be willing to look into those things and approve for those things to happen. Because we believe
in particular in the face of job creation, we are not going to be able to address issues of unemployment from what is existing. We need to come through with new things. We need to give young people opportunities, who have people who have just ideas, who have not necessarily put them in place. So as this particular portfolio committee be willing to go and tell Parliament why are young people given the opportunities and also support us in that particular space. But I think the other issues is that the integrated youth development strategy, when you follow how it has been brought into the MIGA, you don't see a particular budget for actually finishing the exercise. You just see you see the task as per the act, and everyone is speaking nicely about it. So we also have to discuss those things. How do we make it happen? What did not happen? The issue of youth directorate, I think sometimes terminology is a problem that we need to address. You know, so long as we call it a desk, we'll never be taken serious. And the reality that we live with currently is that in all the sectors that we must work in, the public, the private, and civic, the biggest one that we have full access to is the public. So if the public sector is currently at a space where youth development is a, by the way, issue, a tick box exercise, we are going to have problems. And we are going to make sure that every, as per the Act gives us a level of responsibility in terms of mainstreaming youth development, etc. We are going to hold everyone to account. So you expect that there will be complaints from government departments that the MIGA is really being a pain, and expect as well a little bit of noise from the public, the private sector as well, because themselves they will be feeling the existence of the MIGA. So there's going to be a lot going on, and we need a lot of support from this particular portfolio committee and obviously our mother department in ensuring that those things are happening. The issue of accessibility that the chair spoke to, we have 226 local municipalities and 44 districts. In all of them, there must be a way of saying how young people access the NYGA, even if it's just at an information level. And then we can then develop branches as we go along and make sure that at least all the services of the NYGA are accessible at the correct level. We need to also ensure that the NYGA gains the space that it was designed to occupy. Because you do find that, you know, when you listen to how we look at the NYGA, it's now the agents that exist somewhere, it's no longer the board that was supposed to be coordinating and providing direction on the issues of youth development. We are going to ensure that that particular exercise happens, and it's not going to be a nice exercise. And that's why we are saying, as this particular portfolio committee, raise yourself, energy is available here. Thank you.
Okay, no, thank you. Before I allow the CEO, it would be not proper that I don't allow honorable members to react, to comment, and because they have said a mouthful. I'll start from my far left and close by myself, with myself. Honorable Mwabe, over to you, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to honorable members and the leadership of the NIDA and the department. Now, Chairperson, one has to acknowledge the energy of the new board in uploading them with the vision that they seem to be having. And one has to appreciate that after so long that the agency was without a board, at least now we have people who seem to understand their story as to what they should be doing here. And I will also promise them that we will be assisting them all the way. But in other moments, we will be brutal as we did to the previous board when things were not going okay up until they reached a stage of getting a clean body. It was because of that engagement. That's what I can say. So we'll be with them, we'll support them, but we'll be hard on them on the other side, with the sole goal of achieving what the young people of the country want. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable.
Now,
you very much, Chair. You are right. You know, you sort of say the right things at the right time. You said they said a mouthful. That's actually quite true. Just a couple of points, because there's a lot that has been said, but maybe something you can take away, Mr. Mtweni. I'm the grandson and great-grandson of the Ndebele, Bokomuletlani, so I understand your name. Yeah. Anyway, here you are. You made this point that your intention is not to rock the boat. Throw it away. Throw it out of the window. Because if you are not going to rock the boat, it means you are going to do what? Maintenance. You are going to just keep things as they are. And most of the things you said to me means you're going to have to rock the boat. So throw that thing away, and by way of something that might help you, there's a guy called Colin Powell. Have you ever heard of him? Right. He wrote a little thing called The Primer on Leadership.
Oh, yeah.
You're nodding, so you may have read it. Right. Read that thing again in your new capacity, and then you see what you need to do. There are things that you just said need to be done. From our side, you need anything that can be done to facilitate youth engagement, jobs, all the things that you guys are talking about, we got to do. The other things that you also talked about 2008, 2010, that's the things we were fighting. Absolutely. We're not tolerating that kind of thing. The important thing is that we have to also pay special attention to the needs, not in education, not in employment. Because the guys in education are screened, the guys in employment are screened. Look at those guys who are, you would call the missing middle. The guys who are not in education, not in job, that's where the problems are going to be. You know, fees must fall is nice. The guys are in education. Yeah. The guys who are not in education, not employed, those are the things that you're going to be. Otherwise, good luck.
Thank you, Honorable Ndau. Honorable Young Lord.
Thanks, Chair. From what Mr. Mtweni and Ms. Shonga has told us, it is clear to me that they've got lots of energy and lots of ideas as to how to involve the entire youth of South Africa into their plans of action. And I want to agree with Honorable Mittal next door to me that the idea is precisely to rock the boat and not to sit and wait for things to happen. Mashonga has referred to the NDA having been known as a death up till now, and that very little is going to change in terms of people taking it seriously unless the NYDA gets its rightful place in government, the place it was designed to occupy. I wish you well, and from my side, I can say from our side, Sage and the other two that's not here, we will be giving the NYDA our support, but be sure that if things go wrong and we pick up things, we will also be on to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That is all.
Thank you very much, Chair. Hey, you know what impresses me with about
the
school guys who volunteered in Afanoa from but they are very honest. They are very honest. They have said, raise yourself. Now, this is a clear warning, or on a lighter note, we can call it a gentle persuasion that we must brace ourselves. There's a lot of energy here for party, passion, kicking the hour.
Before you disrupt this meeting,
I'm enjoying
this speech here.
Yes, I just took from what they have said.
Yes, no, we agree, but we're in this different meeting, but you may continue, Honorable Member.
Yes, I'm saying they said it. That's what they said.
Okay, officer, continue, sir.
Hands Mwah said, bring it on. Bring it on. Well, that on a lighter note, I wish them well too. But I would specifically wish that they look into the wage bill, the high wage bill, because that puts paid to the kind of performance that the going to that they should be looking at. And also, now that they have realized that they have only 15 branches within 45 districts, that's also a challenge that they need to look at, as they will be talking with the local government associations to make sure that they expand and they double and triple their presence across all the municipalities in the country. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Honorable Ziawa. Honorable Velma. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. All I want to say is in the youth sector, there is a lot to be done. Why I'm saying is that, that when I give my questions later, you'll understand that, but I'd like to say welcome to the new board members. Good luck. We wish you well for the work that you're going to do. Thank you.
And to add, honourable member, that you pledge your support as well. Having said that, from my side, I agree with all, starting from honourable Mwabe, is that you also, Ms. Songwa, spoke about, yes, it was your school staff. No, it was the chair, that you are going, which is good that you are going to advise early. But also, I must raise on behalf of the committee that when you approve the annual plan, please note that we are currently in the year 17-18, which has already been approved. As we speak, tomorrow we'll be voting for those votes. Hence then, my earlier comments that I made, that there are things that, and I'm sure that during your induction also you know this space, that it should also come to us, but it must not be an issue of that you felt that there must be that energy, but also it must be convincing to us, because it has to go through the house as well, and still you have to present it to the National Council of Provinces as well. So there are very robust processes. For me, I would say it's better to be fair to yourself also, if you to say, while we are going to review that, but you are still going to have a bite when we are going towards October, towards the end of the year, which is this current year, this financial year, where we are dealing with our budget reviews, which we call them BRR, budget recommendation reviews report, where also you might then tweak within that time so that you can go through the process of before the end of the current financial year. But moving forward also, that those things that we can carry over for 18-19 annual plan. But in the process of doing that, you need to look at your 5-year plan as well, because it must also tie in so that it can overlap towards the beyond 2019 as well for the new administration as it will. But also your plan must talk to ensure that, please do ensure that it does talk to the NDP. I know that it does, but with you present now, you must ensure that it does reflect as such. May I welcome Honorable Panevan, and also I've forgotten honorable members also to note an apology from Honorable Marvin. She's attending a monthly treatment, so he's due today to do his treatment. He'll be back later this afternoon. So I'm saying the other one that I would like also to say on behalf of ourselves as the portfolio committee, that make sure that you don't become friends with the board, but you don't fight. Because the moment then the chair and the deputy chair fight, and then they're not in good talking terms, speaking terms, the whole thing falls apart. But also the whole board that you lead also does have an overspill. That overspill then spills over to the administration, and the administration morale comes to fore, and also seizing the opportunity of wrong things to happen because they will know that you are not watching, because you are busy with yourself. The previous board, we never experienced that. From where we are seated, we never go around sneaking out. But from the posture that you are presenting when they come to Parliament, we'd love to see that. As I said earlier on, that we are from different political parties, but we work as a team, not necessarily because we are friends, but because we are human beings with the same objectives to make sure that the blood of the young people. The other one that I would love you to look at closely also, where Brazil would give you an in, is the issue of the digital revolution and the space of making young people's economic life more viable than it is now, that you must look at that. And how smart could you be? You also, Chair, spoke about, just so quickly, the issue of but also other training institutions, whether you're TVET and you're university, but also we do have our own in-house training body, which is the National School of Government. That also, I will add that let's start collaboration, and also we've got the Center for Innovation, Public Service Center for Innovation, in terms of creativity and innovation for young people to explore, which you will by default also work with the science and technology, but that one also which falls within our oversight. If you can have an MOU within that space, and I'm sure we can, by the end of your term, we have made a meaningful mark. With that, you are once more most welcome, and we wish you all the best. Honorable Fanemet, for the part, hey, now I'm taking a wrong sentence. I apologize.
My Biden act is okay.
Oh, okay, so my sidekick is working well. Is that we're welcoming the chair and deputy chair. They were making their remarks in laying the foundation for the presentation, but also obviously they had to say other things. So we're acting in there what they were saying. So in a nutshell, what I was going to say is more or less a summary of what we're saying. But all we just wish you all the best. We're glad you are here to support you to make sure that we better the South African community life. I was told that you new chair that now we can come to the CEO on right. Thank you.
Can I come in the gallery anymore?
I must warn you, that lady there, who's called an honorable member, hey, if she doesn't, you go to hospitals, she knows everything. You go and sideline and go to home affairs. It's dangerous, you must watch it. Over to you, Kachu. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to the honorable member. The chair of the NYC and the deputy chair, the leadership and colleagues from GPMA. I'll start, Chair, by just introducing the delegation that is with us from the agency. I am with me here, Ms. Ntuseng Pashel, who is responsible for operations in the agency. So, because today we will be giving an account on the work that the agency does in an attempt to create, sustain and support employment of young people. Ms. Pahele is here with me. So she will also be assisting in taking some of the questions that honorable members might have. We also have Ms. Rufuno Rapu, who is an administrator in the CEO's office. Because we have taken a decision of not appointing the because we have taken a decision not to appoint the PLO because in the structured organization is located in the board office, whilst we're waiting for the board to take office, we have been interchanging administrators at the office to try and assist with coordinating the work here in Parliament, making sure that presentations and things are up to scratch and all that. So that is the reason why she said. So I'll go to the presentation, Chair, and you will see that the presentation is structured into three parts.
Part A really is about setting the context for the products and services and programs that I will speak about. It's about the vision, the mission, the mandate of the organization, and the key programs that the agency has adopted. You will note that I will not spend too much time there because with this you are familiar with, we've discussed many times before, but also because we take note of the fact that this week the board will be sitting to deal with issues of strategy, so those might be amended, they might change, and so forth, as it relates to where the board will want to take the organization moving forward from where we are. And then I'll spend a bit of time on Part B, which is our product services, to give you a sense of what we need to do to respond to the mandate of the employment. And then Part C also, I won't spend much time on it, because we're just reflecting on the journey that has been for the last 3 years. And really the key message that we want to leave to the honorable members is that in the last 3 years, as much as we have attempted to do the best that we can, the resource allocation has remained a major challenge, and we have really only stressed the surface. We have not dealt with unemployment and issues of economic participation for young people in a manner that requires, given the population, the youth population in our country. So that really would be to make a point or to make a case with the honorable members to say we need that in dealing with issues of resource analysis. So as I run through quickly, as I said, Part A, the vision and the mission and the values really just say this is what we've been attempting to do for the last three, 4 years. Under the leadership of the previous board, and those are the things that really we sought to apply in the organizing to create a culture that will support the achievements and the implementation of the strategy as adopted by the board there. Then we reflect a little bit on what the end state will make, the mandate, and also just indicate that our target group is young people between the ages of 14 and 35. There is biasness towards rural youth, as well as the young people with disabilities. And then we just reflect on overarching goals which will link to the priorities of the National Development Plan and the strategic outcome that government has set itself. So I'll speak a little bit on the key performance areas that the agency has adopted in order to respond to issues of youth unemployment and youth entrepreneurship as it were. We're focusing on economic participation. In economic participation, the main focus there is to try and get one, stimulate a youth entrepreneurship or the culture of entrepreneurship amongst young people, so that young people can think of entrepreneurship as an alternative to employment. We also focus on education and skills development, because we still believe that education becomes the fundamental basis that young people must have in the first instance, whether they aim to gain employment or the aim to go into business. We think that education is important. We speak about skills development, which primarily for us is focused on the issue that Honorable Mutau was speaking about the need. Where we are looking at those young people who mainly and by and large have dropped out of the schooling system, and those who have not been able to pursue higher education left with little hope about being incorporated in the ministry on your board. And then we speak of research and policy. Here, research and policy, which is more focused on how do we strengthen the new policy. In this regard, we have indicated before to the portfolio committee that we have since established a research institute with the University of Johannesburg, which is a partnership between the University of Johannesburg, which is looking at conducting research work to look at the challenge that young people face and how best can we as a country, both the private sector, civil society and government, can best respond to the challenges that they face and what kind of programs and initiatives need to be implemented to respond to those issues. And then governance, which is mainly inward looking, which is about how to make sure that the NYD remains a credible and capable state institution
which can be trusted with delivery of youth development in our country. And then the last thing, the National Youth Service Program, which we have presented here before, also to say that we will be taking a much more active role in line with the decision of cabinet to make National Youth Service one of the biggest programs that are aimed at youth development in our country. We have indicated before that the aim is to enroll at least 1 million young people by the year 2019. So those will be the focus areas of the presentation that will be putting forward. So along those key performance areas, the next slide really attempts to link the work that we do with the strategic outcome goals that government has prioritized. And within those specific key performance areas that I've reflected on, we then need to speak about the actual programs and the sub-programs, other consultation, the issues of internationalism that I've indicated, and also business development support that we offer to young entrepreneurs. The issues of education and skills development, I'll speak more of when I move forward to the actual programs that we're implementing. The research and monitoring, I've already spoken about some of the work here, as Dr. Kahala indicated earlier on, is delivered mainly from the president through the deputy minister and the youth directorate within the province, mainly relating to policy issues, legislative work. Which is why you will realize that the NYDA Act amendment is located in that particular office. The work that is happening around the integration of the development strategy is also done in collaboration with the support of the youth directorate and the president. Then we'll continue to speak about issues of social cohesion, which also will deliver through the National Youth Service Program, issues of sports, recreation, arts and culture, issues of health and well-being, national service. Some of the issues you will remember that when we presented the annual performance plan the last time we were here, we indicated that they are no longer part of the annual performance plan for 2017-2018, which was developed by the Transitional Accounting Authority. But as the chair has indicated, we are going to start playing over the new board and also express itself in terms of that which might be the priority moving forward, but also we're including it here because in a few of the presentation we're reflecting on the work of the agency for the last year. So we needed to account for the work of the agency in those particular cases. The governance and administration, I spoke about it, more inward looking, and then the National Youth Fund, this is a provision of the NYDA Act that the agency must administer the fund. The chair spoke here about some of the futuristic projects or programs that will be implemented, the idea of establishing the entrepreneurship fund and then the skills fund. Those will be located in that particular space. So when we go to Part B, which is product and services, I'll try and explain a little bit here of what we do and reflect on some of the work that has been done. The numbers as they relate to all these products and services are in Part C, which has said that we are putting it forward to reflect on the limited number that we have been able to reach and all that, but also to account for what we have utilized the budget for in the last 3 years or so. Around the current participation, we implement a product or a program which is called Entrepreneurship Awareness Training. Here the idea is to stimulate entrepreneurship amongst them, because research tells us that South Africa has the lowest entrepreneurship activity rate in sub-Saharan Africa. So we want to try and say to young people, go to school, yes, but don't go to school because you want to get a job. But go to school only with the idea that you can be an employer, and you know you can use entrepreneurship as an alternative to employment. So here we just say to young people, all and sundry, regardless of whether they have a professional interest in entrepreneurship, we say this is what entrepreneurship is about, this is how you can go about it. So entering the field of entrepreneurship and business support that you can find, both in the public sector, private sector, and the sector. Then we have business management training, which is now more designed for those who then choose the entrepreneurship path, where we aim to try and say to them, this is how you go about managing the day-to-day operations of your business and so forth and so forth. And this is how you can ensure sustainability of your business. Then we have the grant funding program, which we implemented. And the grant funding program then targeted it in a way that it was quite less, so to speak. One is that before a young person can access a grant funding, they must at least go through the business management training that I've spoken about, so that before you fund, you will at least prepare these young people to be able to succeed once they start running the business operation. Also, we assist with the registration of these businesses or cooperatives through the CIPC, and then we actually give the funding itself, but we then also say, once you receive the funding, you must also be part of the mentorship program, so that you get to get the support and the advice of those who have done it before, who have been in business, or those that have some level of expertise in running businesses or in business management. And then we also have the last leg, which is marketing, which is when there's an attempt to try and link up the young people or the young entrepreneurs with those who can either buy, who can buy the products and services or can support the work that they do. So we give that as a package as part of the grant funding program. Now, the grant funding program has been implemented now for 3 years. This will be the fourth year of implementation of the grant funding program. What we've done is that we've conducted an evaluation of the program. The evaluation was concluded in March this year. And what that evaluation told us was that at least about 56% of the businesses that were funded in the last 3 years have been able to be sustainable, and they've been able to live beyond the 12-month period, which has been a major, or which is a major problem in our country, that most businesses that get to be registered with CIPC don't live beyond 12 months. But we are seeing that the national average is sitting at about 33%, and the businesses that were funding through the grant funding program, at least they are surviving at a rate of 66%, which says to us that this program is doing well. One of the interesting things that came out of that evaluation was that the majority of the businesses that are succeeding to live beyond 12 months are mainly those that are run by young women. What you understand, what makes that differentiation between businesses that are owned by young men and businesses that are owned by young women. But statistics, as it relates to this evaluation that we have done, is suggesting that those that are owned by young women are more sustainable. And specifically also, those that are in the agricultural space, which were funded through cooperatives, they are showing a sign of being a lot more sustainable, as it were from the evaluation that we have done. The main challenge here remains that the grant funding program of the NYGA remains, it's one of the most popular products or programs that we have. The demand far exceeds our ability to meet what young people need, and the need for young people to get into business. And as the chair said, that is why we are now beginning to entertain the idea of creating the entrepreneurship fund, so that we can be able to grab funding from all over, private sector, public sector, and civil society for that matter, so that we can be able to respond to this growing and increasing demand from young people to get into business as it were. But we must be able to acknowledge where we think progress is being made and where we think youth development is being prioritized. We just signed an agreement with the KZN provincial government through the Economic Development Department there. We have said that they are willing to commit and support the work of NYDA as it relates to the grant funding progress in the province, and they've initially given us 2 million rand to, as a start and as a way of piloting, which must be used to fund young entrepreneurs only in the KZN province. The discussion that we have with them is that if this thing works out, they will be increasing the contribution to this NYGA grant funding program. It's a good thing, and I think we must be able to acknowledge it, because we're seeing other government departments as it were prioritizing youth development and willing to work with the agency in the pursuit of inclusion of young people in the mainstream economy of our country. So that's where we are as it relates to the grant funding, and the nature that we deliver the grant funding is such that we don't give young people the money. We ask them to give us quotations of whatever that they require. We pay the suppliers, and the suppliers give them whatever it is that they need to be able to apply their trade in the businesses that they do. And also what we then do is our grant officers do site visits on a monthly basis to go there and check if the business is working and whatever, but also to get challenges that these young people are facing so that we can be able to try and assist these young people to deal with the challenges that they face so that they can remain sustainable in the way that they do. And also, to monitor the job creation that happens there. What we also do is that we give these officers forms that must be able to verify the jobs that are there, that are being created through the funding that was provided, also for our reporting purposes. So that's how we deliver the grant funding program. And then the other programs that we offer, or products and services that we offer in the economic participation is the mentorship. The mentorship is offered in three ways. There's a one-on-one mentorship where we pair young people with a mentor who is in that line of business, as it were. So if a young person is in the business of car mechanics, we will link them up with somebody who will be a car mechanic, or at least maybe somebody who is in that space, either through academics, so that person could be a lecturer, or could be a senior manager in a industry or firm or whatever the person is to try to do that. They will also have what we call group mentorship session where young entrepreneurs will be put in a room and they will be jointly be assisted on important issues like for example, how do you go about dealing with issues of tax, for an example, how do you register to pay back and how does that work and all those kinds of things. And then we also have an online mentorship program which we are implementing in partnership with an organization called Atlas Mara, which has offered us the utilization of an online mentorship platform where young people don't necessarily have to meet in person with their mentors, but they can be able to engage using technology on the problems that they have, the advice that they can get from their mentors, and so forth. And then lastly, the market linkage program that I've spoken a little bit about, where we try and then link young people with those who can be able to buy the products and services that they produce. The idea here is to try and address the question of sustainability, because one of the biggest challenges that we own businesses face is that to get the confidence of the buyer is not an easy thing. So we try and approach in that way by engaging those that can buy the products and services that they offer and so forth. Under education and skills development, we have the Thorold Macadamy Scholarship Fund, which is aimed at academically excellent young people who are mainly coming from rural areas and peri-urban areas who also are financially needy, who their parents can afford to take them to university. In this regard, we have now concluded agreements with all universities in the country. We have partnership with all the universities in the country. We administer the scholarship fund in partnership with the university. So for example, young people will first have to get admission in the university, and the application process will get to be done with the university. But the approval process then happens between us and the universities as it were. So that is the way of saying that, of bridging the gap, because we know that in our country, scholarships have been, the scholarship pot is very small. And it's often offered within the private sector, where companies in the private sector will only go for the really the top of the cream, for lack of a better word. But they will only go for like 10, 15 because of their own requirements of the future. They will not do bulk funding for scholarships. They will not fund those that they don't intend to absorb within their system. So the idea here is to moving forward to grow the fund so that we're able to offer many deserving young people, specifically, as I said, from rural areas and peri-urban areas, an opportunity to get a university education, as it were. And then we also have the jobs program. The jobs program has got three elements to it. One is the jobs database program, where young people can submit and register their CVs in the system, and then we then work with industry to then say, as and when they look for employees or they look to hire, they must come to our database and get the CVs of these young people, call them for interviews and so forth and so forth, so that we create the match between those who are looking for jobs and those who have opportunities for jobs. And then what we then have in that program also is the life skill training. Here we just try and prepare young people for the life of work, you know. How do you deal with working in a team? How do you deal with working with people of different cultures and regions and so forth and so forth? So that when these young people enter the job market, they're able to cope better and be able to stay in the job for a longer period. We also have the job preparedness training program. The program aims to prepare young people for the working world. For example, how do you put a CV together? How do you present yourself in an interview process so that you improve your chances of gaining that job? So that's what we then do in that particular space. Also, we have a number of skills, technical skills programs, and we have focused in the last 3 to 4 years on key specific areas. One is the construction industry. We have done a lot of work with the public works, human settlements, also where we involve young people in the construction of the housing, a project that government is implementing across the country to train young people in the construction, the entire value chain, bricklaying, carpentry, electrical, and so forth and so forth. So that these young people, once they've gone through those particular programs, they can either through the NYJ grant funding program or through other DFIs, be assisted to start their own businesses, or at least they are able to now look for employment and gain employment because they have the skills that they have. We have also focused on the area of wealth as well as planning in the last 2 to 3 years. But again, as we go into the board strategy, those are some of the issues that we'll be reviewing, we'll be looking at to see if we still want to focus there or also maybe want to introduce other areas. Then, under the National Youth Service Program, as I said, the idea as driven by the President and Cabinet is that National Youth Service must be everybody's concern, the role of government, and the NYJ must play the role of coordination. So what we'll be doing is coordinating the work that everybody else in government at the three spheres, national, provincial, and local government, will be doing. We'll be providing standards so that there is uniformity in how these national service programs are implemented in the country. We will assist with the curriculum development, and we will assist with monitoring and evaluation and training and capacitation of those who will be implementing national service programs, because we understand that youth development is not necessarily their primary business. We are the primary stakeholder basically to the delivery of youth development in our country. And then the question of social cohesion is an important integral part of the youth service program, because we want to build responsible citizens, patriotic citizens, the people who will be able to say, we want to be part of building our own communities, we want to be part of building our country to that which we aspire for our country to be, as you know, it's also provided by the National Development Plan. And let's go to research and policy. I've spoken about the research institute that we have developed, that was created with the University of Johannesburg. The institute is now in its 2nd year of operation, it's fully functional, work is happening there, and we're hitting the progress that the institute is making moving forward. And then monitoring and evaluation, we're doing it mainly for our own products and services. I've indicated in the last session that we had with the portfolio committee that we have committed ourselves now in this financial year to do the program and products and services evaluation like what we have done for the grant funding program, because we want to first understand, are these products and services delivering the objectives that we intended for them to do? So if they are not, what is working, what is not working, what needs to be changed, what needs to be improved, do we need to continue with these programs or not? Maybe we need to discuss them. But we need empirical evidence to support the decisions that we'll be taking moving forward. And knowledge management is where we focus on creating a knowledge base so that the experiences that we have ourselves in implementing this development can be used by the broader society in South Africa, so that anybody else in the country who may want or who may choose to implement this development can be able to learn from our experiences on the variety of programs, products and services that we have been implementing over the years. And then the under communications and advisory services, yes, this is now more about, you know, taking the work of the agency to the people, you know, young people in particular, but also not just the work of the agency, the opportunities that the agency offers to young people, but also opportunities that young people can access elsewhere in government. And the opportunity that can be able to access in the private sector and even civil society, as it were. Broadly speaking, you know, we aim to create a center where young people can be able to access all of the opportunities that exist in the country through the work that we do. And then in terms of partnership with stakeholder management, we have made it, you know, a key priority to engage other role players, both sister agencies and government, other government departments, private sector and civil society, to lobby them to support and invest in the work of youth development in the country. And now part three, as I've indicated, is mainly the numbers that we have been able to reach. Like I said, there are two things here that look like to achieve, or that at least we aim to achieve by presenting it to you. One is to account to say this is where the budget of the agency has gone in the last 3 years or so, four or five years or so. But secondly, then the most important part is that the numbers are very limited. So you can see that the numbers that we're speaking about are very limited given the youth population that we have in our country. And the That support that the chair, the deputy chair, was speaking about, that we will seek from the committee, is that we want to be able to do more. We want to be able to reach more young people, but at the current moment we are limited and we need your support as we engage, firstly with government departments, before we even go outside to speak about the private sector, but also when we go to the private sector and civil society, we would want you to walk the journey with us as it were. And that basically then just concludes the presentation. The other things, the last part of the presentation is more statistics, just to indicate that, you know, this is the environment that we find ourselves in as a country, a huge population of young people, and you know, the inability of the agency to be able to service this all important group, which represent the future of our country. And I think I will not go too much there. Like I said, these are the critical issues that, you know, statistics has been reporting on the time about the plight of young people and so forth and so forth. And also, just to indicate that in our planning process, we do invite SSA to give us an indication of where young people are as it relates to the work that they have done, so that we try and match the planning and the work that we do with where young people are and the challenges that young people are facing as it were. And I will leave it here, Chair, and allow engagement.
Thank you so much for the presentation, probably for both presentations. Honorable members, just to recap for the benefit of Honorable Panavat, actually, I think that we'll take both we'll engage on both presentations at once. So this was the second presentation. So it's open for us, Honorable members, to comment, to make suggestions, because the presentation has had two, the first one at most had two, three areas. I'm adding the third one. The challenge, the progress, the challenges, and of course the recommendation that she has put forward, but also the second one. I thought CEO also you're going to direct us in terms of, which is good that you're giving us the figures in terms of money terms, but also we are more interested in terms of who have benefited in Limpopo and where in terms of the district is better that way, that we're going to talk to them. But I would be kind to you to say that the information that you gave us for the preparation for our budget debate, which came very late, which are another thing, Chairperson, that we would like you your support on, that may we get the information that we require on time. But I know that it has been a gap with also the POs that are changing, as the POs have said. But moving forward, we'd love to have our own smooth working relationship as it were, in terms of information flowing from your good self to us as parliamentarians that should assist. I'm tempted to start from the, my far bottom left and engage on both presentations, please, if possible, Honourable Member. Thank you. Honourable Dadenhoff.
Chair, one does not have questions per se, but on the first presentation, I don't have a question or a comment. I think everything that I was looking for was covered in part of the conclusion of the report, which covers the question. But also in the last presentation as well, one can just make two comments. You see, Chair, the other problem that we have in this country is the duplication of activities in our departments, various government departments. I was looking on issues of cooperatives and these small businesses, especially for young people. You know, we have a Department of Small Business Development, and I serve there in that committee as well. You know how much they have also the for the allocation towards the business of young people, including cooperatives. When we had an oversight, the last oversight, when Mpumalanga approved, the number of cooperatives that we visited, farming and others, was not young people. And that department has a mandate to sign transversal agreements with other departments. I was looking to see whether I can to also approach them so that you increase your funding massive, because they have this funding, so that you are able to get a statistics of the number of SMEs and cooperatives run by young people, which they are funding. Because in most cases, they will give them funds, but in terms of savings, they are making on those ones. And now they are specializing on that one. Our business was also, it features well on one of your groups, that to also have a meeting with the DTO, because those young people must be assisted in a long way. And secondly, I remember in Pietermaritzburg, there is a farming co-op of very young people. I think they are five. They are around 20, 25. And the farm is so huge. But they are struggling in terms of skill. Although they got the money from the department, but coaching, where I think you guys will fit in as well. And the second one, Chair, is this area of job preparedness to young people. I normally say some of the things must be given to relevant departments. I have raised with the NIDA the issue of rewrite, that they should not spend money, they must give it to the Honorable Zimandis Department. But I find this one as well to feature well in basic education. When someone is writing his matric, he must be able to write his CV and know how to, the whole job preparedness exercise can be done there. I think maybe if you can look at that as a CEO and the board as to how can you approach the basic education so that you reduce spending in your agent and spend where really necessary. Not where there's other department with a huge muscle that can do. Maybe that one as well, if you look at it and see how to bring in the Department of Basic Education. Because it's funny that someone will write his or her final exam paper, and after that you go to another institution or another organization to be taught how to write a CV, how to present yourself. It should be the package on that matrix. Them or prepare the for the outside world. Maybe if we can also engage the that particular department to look at that. But with regard to other things, I think we are on track. I'm quite convinced. But the other thing that you are not doing well is to market your successes. If you are saying we funded so much young people and they are doing well in business, whether it's a co-op or what kind of a business, that should be the headlines in the story. So that also it takes away the perception that no, those people are not doing anything. Even if you have bought a pen for a certain organization, raise that as a flag, it's all achievement. That is what also will clear that stigma that we are not doing anything. But I was happy when I hear the leadership of the board speaking about expanding offices, especially in areas where you guys are not there. I mean, you can't have that kind of intelligence that representing young people and your office is in the center. Now, who's going to see your offices and use them? So that's one of the things that maybe I think you are quite correctly addressed. But that was my comment to say, just look at those things as well. But overall, I'm impressed with the presentation.
Thank you,
Honorable
Inhabitant.
I think
it's
just one more last thing. I swear I should have started, but I thought I'd leave it for the end. In the real world, and especially in the world that is contaminated by politics, perception is reality. The NYDA has been contaminated by its association strongly with a political party. We've talked about this many times and stuff like that. So one of the challenges of the new board is to go out there, you talked of cleaning up the image, go out there and make sure that everybody understands, and it can only be done through action, that this NYDA is an NYDA of all the young people of the country. And your document here, which you called something quoted earlier on about the African Youth Charter, makes it very, very clear that youth means every person between the ages of 15 and 30. Every person. That's the key thing that you guys, if you can achieve that, in a big image of the NYDA that people are there because they're people and they're people and they're people, you have achieved a hell of a great deal to make sure that the NYDA can be successful. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Honorable
Fander,
young people
should
be the future. No, we are busy up and down. I'm saying to the other honorable member, young blood. I think I'm saying that also on the safer side.
I want to associate you with all the good things that has been said by the two honorary members who have spoken before me in terms of what you're doing and what you hope to do and your vision and your mission and those kinds of things. But I've got some specific questions I would like to ask you. And with regards to the first presentation, in slide 18 of the first presentation, you refer to what you're doing in terms of combating substance abuse, etc. And what I would like to know is if you could expand a little bit about what your drug strategy entails, especially in the light of drugs like Nairobi and TIC, which is pervasive in almost all communities in South Africa. And maybe you could also talk about your success rate, in combating the scourge, and how do you determine whether what you're doing out there, whether it is beating the mark and getting results, or what is happening there? Then you refer to the fact that 50% of your budget goes for salary. What I would like to know is whether you make use of consultants from outside in to do any of your work, because you have mentioned that you've got problems with human resource capacity. And if it is so, if you use consultants, are you able to tell us what the costs of these outside people are? What is this costly in YDA? And can you afford to have these people from outside? With regards to the second presentation, you've referred to the funding applications, and I would like to know, is there a backlog in applications? And what is your turnaround time? If I'm part of a youth organization and I am applying for funding for a specific program or project today, how long do I have to wait before I get a response on that? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Fadipat.
Now, Chair, I'm actually covered by Honourable Jongbrun, but I'm also keen to know, maybe in a written response to the committee, what are the exact criteria for applying for entrepreneurship and financial assistance? Maybe that could assist, because you do come along some entrepreneurs on the ground, and then you could guide them. I know you can go on the web, but it would be easier if you give us a few bullet points.
And what would qualify you as well?
Yeah, exactly.
Can I just add to this? Honourable Mittal referred to the fact that the NYDA should be aimed at all young people. Maybe this is a mischievous question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Does the political affiliation or the political support of the
membership card,
the membership card of the people who apply for funding, does it play any role whatsoever? Thank you.
They are modest. They don't want to say the political party, but there is that perception.
Yes. On the ground.
Which might, the perception becomes real or false.
Yes.
Honourable Doc.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Actually, Honourable Young Group have a thing with regards to
can you just understand that there will be a red light that will allow it to be audible?
Yeah, the issue of, thank you, Chair, the issue of Nyaube, whether it has been categorized as an illegal drug, whatever you call it. Well, what happened in that regard, because it's what an impact on the convictions of the users and those that sell it. What has been the, I'm now on the first presentation.
Mm-hmm.
What have been the real issues and challenges emanating from the IT systems and the administrative inefficiency in as far as the responses are concerned? In the preliminary report, next first appeal, are there any preliminary report on the next first appeal processes for students who believe that they have not been treated fairly regarding their applications? And I'd also like to know at which disciplines are the incentives to attract youth to the teaching professions targeted? Mention was made of an upgrade from the youth desk to a directorate. I just want to check whether capacity is available, this purpose, so that after some time we don't end up saying or hearing that we have not been able to achieve what we intended to because of capacity and so on. I wish you could elaborate also, Doctor, the second chance opportunities for matriculants. What's your special focus? Furthermore, Chair, I heard that there is an attempt on the postgraduate qualifications for the teachers of the TVET and the TVET colleges. and this is facilitated by the Western Cape, taking into consideration the artisanship problem that we have in South Africa, are there any attempts to maybe engage other universities to try and speed up this skills revolution in the country? On the issues of patriotism for our youth, Chair, allow me to read this, which I want to read, just 1 second.
Okay.
Let's all unite and celebrate together the victories won for our liberation. Let us dedicate ourselves to rise together to defend our liberty.
You wrote it.
That's for sure. You don't need to. Doctor? What's it? I can read it again. Let's all unite and celebrate together the victories won for our liberation. Let us dedicate ourselves to rise together to defend our liberty and unity. Chair. I'm talking about patriotism in relation to our national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
This is the UN national. This is the UN. So it means I'm just trying to say, it also becomes our obligation to make sure that our youth out there are educated as far as this is concerned. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable W.
Thank you, Chair. I would also like to add and thank most of you for the presentation. I'd like to go to the National Youth Policy. While I still have it in front of me, the National Youth Policy on page 28, 6.7, gives statistics on disability by age. I'm quite shocked to find that over 50% of the disabled are above the age of 85. And then for the youth from 15 up until the age of 35, it's less than 10%. Now, yes, at the bottom it says it comes from Statistics South Africa, 2011. But I'm not very happy and I don't agree with this. I contacted a person in the Department of Social Development to ask him about this, or her about this, but she wasn't sure herself. But it could be lower as a result of the different factions. So, now what I would like to say is that youth with disability is much more than the statistics are saying. And I hope the next steps are going to be proper statistics done by people focusing on youth with disabilities, taking into account that some disabilities are hidden. Some disabled people are hidden at home, people are not informed, the public doesn't know about it, or they cannot communicate. I'm not very happy with the statistics as stated in the policy. Okay, so now to my questions, Chair. Relating to the presentation from DPLE, the youth directorate, what support does DPME provide to the various youth directorates? Now, I remember we saying the youth desk, sometimes it's only one person, no capacity, maybe it's on a local level and not able to make, or lower level, not able to make decisions and implement policy. Now, the ideal youth directorate, what does it look like? What would you like to see there? How many staff does it need? Which positions would it be so that they are able to implement the policy, the youth policy, or make important decisions for the youth? And your articulation policy, what does that mean? I'm not really clear on that. Can you please explain that more? What does that do to assist the youth? And then going to the NYDA presentation. Thank you very much. Very good presentation. One sentence on disability that you will work with them. But I want to know how far have you been working with disability organizations and what have you done for the disabled youth? The reason why I'm asking is the past weekend I presented at a youth camp. 87 deaf youth coming from the 4 deaf schools only in the Western Cape. 87 deaf youth were present. And I know that most of the deaf youth know nothing about the NYDA. And most of the youth come are from between the ages of 15 to 20. So from grade 8 to grade 12. Now I would like to see the NYDA do more information sharing or awareness campaigns or making yourself known amongst the youth with disabilities, especially the deaf youth. And I would like to know what you're going to do for them. And then I would like to go to the slide that speaks on point 2, education and skills development. The technical skills program, you said that it's construction, welding, piping, or plumbing. I also sit on the Portfolio Committee for Communication. Now, when you look around at the ICT sector, you know, they always talk about we don't have the skills, we don't have broadband, we don't have skills in computing, etc. And I believe strongly that the youth must know computer software, software development, web development, etc. Don't you think of offering training in that area for our youth? And then going to page 18 or slide 18, the Solomon Mfungu Scholarship. My question is, why is Gauteng so very high? You just recently said you're trying to work as much as possible in the rural areas with the rural youth, but Gauteng is sky high. You give more, it seems like you give more to them than other provinces. So I would like to know the reason why. And I think that's all, Jay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so very much. Let me offer a colleague, thanks for the presentation. Having said that, I will have questions and also recommendations for the portfolio committee to do that. One recommendation that I would like to make is that when we come back from recess, it will be after July, maybe second or first week, we'll see whether which compliance program that needs to start first so that we don't also undermine our compliance activities that we need to do. That we need to have a joint meeting with trade and industry, and also it will be,
small business.
And other key, not more than 3 departments, that and treasury, which is the key as well, so that we can walk the talk in terms of support. Because there's no way that the NYDA is going to achieve that without a clear, lacking for a better word, inverted commas, regulated parliamentary process that also push that to happen, so that also they can focus in their key mandate as well. That we must have that honorable member. It will help. But also in your strike plan chain of the NYDA, if you can also look at and try and say how do you phase out the so-called perceived, rather let me use that word very carefully, non-core of your reason for your existence. The one that has been perpetually being asked is the issue of the scholarship one. I know Solomon Mahlangu has got its own intention, but also the one that seems to be at 95% a responsibility or a mandate of in higher education as well, so that we can see how we phase it out. But still, with the MOU, hopefully when we have reduced our youth policy and also the Act, we'll also force them to ensure that we also oversight in terms of the areas that we would love them to also to focus on. The other one that I would like to say
is the one to look at the role of CETA. There's a lot of money with CETA. It could be your ICT CETA and let me just CETA. To say, if you need us also to assist you on that one, we can call that. Those ones that we have identified as well, so that we can also make sure that there is a more programmatic relationship as it were. 2 weeks back, we had an ICT CETA, and we are moving towards that. I think there's a green light in our engagement that we had in the last 2 weeks. The other one, now the questions to DPME, Dr. Sakai, is the, we hope that when we come back, you come back to give us the status report, progress report, as it were, around your recommendation. There will be process in terms of their norms and standards in terms of the recording and collating of the stats also, so that we are comforted that the stats that you would have presented to us, in particular, would be the factual one, that you can say these are scientific stats that you are giving us in terms of the progress of making a difference within the black space. The other one that I would like to say is the, I know that you talk about also the mentorship and all that, but how many of those small businesses that are successful post the 2 years, because my understanding is that the mentorship goes until 2 years. Post 2 years, have we gone to those businesses, whether they've grown or what? But also those small businesses, do we categorize them as making a dent or an impact in terms of job creation and dealing with the joblessness of the young people as it goes? The other one that I would like to raise from my side, honorable members, just quickly let me just go to my notes that I had so that I can. Or the other point that I wanted to pick up, which also around the social cohesion, but what the Honorable Dombela have raised in terms of the AU national anthem. It's not about saying and understanding the South African emblem and national anthem. It's to how do we partner with the, which could be interfaith, I don't want to say churches, interfaith to change the societal behavior as it were, so that we instill the, what's it, patriotic citizen, yes, patriotism as it were, it would, because I can cram even the colors of the country, what they mean, what do they represent, but if I can't leave that, it's not like we want to pass, but we want to change the societal behavior. So I'm saying there is a program that we need to venture in. With that chairperson, you said you were going to be all over. Even that all over can incorporate that. You know the way you said all over, they think that you are just going to go all over and do nothing. But we are also including in your basket to say, can we then, with the young people, but also the other one that I would like you to champion and make sure that it doesn't become a fashion, is the issues that are like your birth certificate. It's your driver's license at a school level, grade 11 and 12, your computer skills, basic computer skills, which also, I think it was Honorable Mnabe raised the issue of CV writing and all that. It should be incorporated, like your life skills, they should be there, but it should be a deliberate, incorporated. Hence, I raised the issue of making sure that the other things you can just sponsor to the Department of Education to focus on that. And Gauteng is giving on that one, but there are 9 provinces, and those 9 provinces must move as unison. The very last one, which I'm sure Dr. Salaga and NYPA, you are aware that, I think it was last 2 days, even yesterday, the issue of recession. That when you engage on extra strike also, moving forward, can you think on that, what does it mean with all what we would like to achieve that we have promised ourselves, what does that mean? Who are going to be our strategic partners with the limited resources that we have? Because that is very critical. The reality, government doesn't have money, the revenue base is shrinking every day. How do you deal with that one? And the very last one, don't forget that there are 9 provinces in this country, and there are rural one and airbed but stroke rural, because even your informal settlement with a lesser basic services and all that, they might be of rural of a special type, like your KZN, and which one is like that, even Western Cape as well. And the focus, we tend to focus on metros instead of focusing the other areas that have got a challenge in terms of connectivity and all that. From my side, that's been that, then we see how we then move forward. But also the last one is that note that, as Honorable Van der Vaart, that we would also expect to, based on our questions, also inviting those ones which need facts, so that we can follow and monitor even the commitments that we have made. And we agree on the turnaround on that. It's over to you, Dr. And also Mr. Zweni and the CEO. Start with the first presentation then. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we've taken note of the comments and the input received from the honourable members, and when we come back, we will make sure that we also attend to and address all the issues which have been raised, and look into obtaining additional information on areas where inquiries have been made, like, for an example, the issue of the report on the appeal process of the NSFAS. And we also want to respond to a few issues that have been made. We've noted the issue of duplication of activities between the departments. I think that's a real one, that there's duplication of activities between various role players, even between government and civil society. And one of the key issues that we will address in the integrated youth development strategy is to ensure that we demarcate the roles and the responsibilities in order to avoid duplication, because there's clear evidence that duplication always results in wastage of resources. And where there is overlap, we will also see how we can actually work together as a youth sector in pooling the resources. So that is something that is going to be addressed in the integrated youth development strategy, which we are attempting to finalize. And then the other issue of matric rewrite program, it has already been transferred to the Department of Higher Education and Department of Basic Education. I think it's the key here, Department of Higher Education. It has already been transferred to the Department of Basic Education. And there was also the issue of incentives on for teachers. Here, some of the incentives, also include offering scholarships for learners in order to attract them to the teaching profession. So that is, part of the incentive that is actually offered to the learners. And then the second chance, opportunities that are available also include issues of the matric rewrite program. Is one of the second chance programs that is offered to learners. But then also diverting learners who qualify to go to TVET colleges, is one of the areas that we have actually strengthened. And we have noted the issue of the national anthems, and that we must also go beyond South Africa, look into the AU as well as the UN national anthem. I'm sure the President has also taken note of. And on the report for the youth directory, what is an ideal youth directory? That is something that we still need to work on when we do our nonsense standards, because we need to do the benchmark on what are the minimum programs, what is the minimum package of services that needs to be given to young people, and then from there, what is the minimum structural configuration that needs to be in place in order to ensure that we deliver effectively on the minimum package of service. So I think that is something that we need to benchmark and then come up with the agreement when we do the norms and standards. And as a starting point, I think the available structure, the proposed structure in the DPME will also serve as a benchmark, because then we'll make a determination of what should be the minimum at national level, what should also be the minimum at provincial, as well as local level. So this is something that we are going to be designing, as part of our norms and standards package. We've also taken note of what you have raised, Chairperson, on providing you with accurate and recent statistics. So I think we will respond to that when we get the report.
Okay. Honorable Chair, over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. We'll allow the CEO and the Deputy Chair offer some responses that will, where they've left out our
Before that, Honorable Kassim, we did meet you when we started the meeting, and you did pass our regards to the school to welcome back.
Thank you very much.
We did receive that you'll be joining us slightly late. Thank you. Over to you, CEO and Deputy Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'll try to respond to some of the questions, the difficult ones. I'll leave them to the Chair and the Deputy Chair. I think we take the advice, specifically the engagement with the small business development, such as that engagement, to see how best we can assist even those young people that are funded elsewhere. So that maybe we can assist with the training and business development programs. And the other issues around job preparedness and life skills, the allocation, I think the advice is coming at the right time, because the board is going for strategy session Thursday and Friday. So those are issues that the board can contain at that level. The perception about the agency, I would reserve this one for the chair and the deputy chair. As it relates to the issue of the drugs program, Nyaunke Lunga and the right strategy, we, because of limited resources and the prioritization that has happened under the leadership of the previous board, we don't offer substantive programs in these specific areas. In fact, what we've done has been mainly dialogues that are aimed at just indicating the dangers of these things to young people. We have not really delved into the real problem. When I say delved into the real problem, I mean, in my view, to deal decisively with this challenge, we have to get involved in some level of rehabilitation process so that you assist these young people to move away from these things. So what we have attempted to do has been mainly prevention, trying to say don't do it. We have done a lot of work here in partnership with SANCA as well as the staff camp rewards, where we have gone to high schools across the country, just encouraging young people to stay away from alcohol abuse and drug abuse by demonstrating the dangers of these things. So we have not really had substantive progress in that area. How do we measure the success of our program? What we do really is this evaluation process that I'm talking about, which we have embarked on with the grant funding program, is one of the first programs that we'll focus on. We'll do this for all programs and products and services that we offer, so that we're able to then be able to say, is it working? If it's not working, maybe we need to stop doing it, or how can we improve it so that it's able to achieve the internal objectives. On the issue of consultants, we hardly use consultants. In fact, there are two specific areas where we use consultants. It's the area of strategic development, as well as the evaluation. evaluation program that I'm talking about, you get researchers or people in that industry who are just to go out there and conduct this evaluation. Also because we want to create some level of objectivity and independence in the evaluation process so that we don't do it ourselves, so that we get a much more fairer and objective report about the programs that we're implementing. Other than that, you know, all others are more service providers. You know, we can talk about the forensic investigators, the lawyers, and whatever, which were created panels. As and when there's an issue with the issues, but we should tell us mainly as service providers, not necessarily as consultants. The backlog, yes, indeed, we have a huge backlog of the grant funding program. But like I said earlier on, it's a very popular product and program, and young people demand far exceed what we're able to process and deal with. So I think, as the chair has said, the idea of establishing an entrepreneurship fund should assist us to go a long way to meeting the needs and the demands of young people. But what we also do at the current time is the referral process where we'll refer to IBC, to CIFA. That 2.7 billion fund that has been established some 3 years ago. The only challenge there has been that the access rate for young people remains very dismal. We refer these young people down, but they aren't able to access it for a variety of reasons as it relates to the processes that are followed in those other three institutions. But we will try and refer where we're not able to help. It's just that we're not then able to make sure that they are able to access when we refer them there. So, the criteria of financial assistance, I think I'll allow Ms. Mpahlo to just speak a little bit on it, but of course we will then still present a much more detailed process in a form of a 10 report. Political membership, I think the chair of the chair will deal with the broader politics of it, but just to say, from an administrative point of view, you just need to be between the ages of 14 and 35 to find assistance with the agency. In fact, one of the things that I had implemented when I took office was to publish on a quarterly basis all the beneficiaries of the NYDA per province, per product and service. The idea being to deal with this thing decisively to say, if for any reason anybody can be able to show cause that such and such a person was assisted because of this and that, we can be able to deal with that. And I think we'll just strengthen that process and continue to do it because we were publishing it on the website. I don't think we're doing it now anymore, but I think we will reinstate it. Yeah, so that you know we will deal with those issues from a perception point of view. The issues of NASFAS I will not delve much into. I just want to make a point because we have been working with them for the last 2 months. NASFAS has approached us in the last 2 months to say that they want to work with us. One is that they want to co-locate with us everywhere where we are in the country so that young people can be able to go and apply in our branches, but also they will put their system in our branches such that young people can also be able to go and check the status of their applications and so forth. So we are also working on a possible internship, joint internship program where we will co-fund between ourselves and NASFAS, so that we put interns in all the local offices where we are present, so that that work can happen. Young people can be able to apply there, make queries, follow up, even those that are already in the system, check whether their payments are up to date and whatever, and so forth and so forth. So that is some work that we are still working on. We'll finalize it at some point, and we'll report back to the portfolio committee in that regard. I think the issue of a second chance, we already handed over to basic education out of the decision of the previous board. How far have we been working with disabled youth? We have not necessarily implemented direct programs for specifically for disabled young people. What we have done is to try and make sure that in all our product and service offering, whether we're talking about grants or whatever, we make sure that young people, I mean disabled young people, are part of that which we offer. And again, I think with the board going through its strategy session, maybe those are type of discussions that can be entertained, whether the agency should implement direct programs aimed at disabled youth in an exclusive form. So I think the board can engage on those issues. Training on IT skills, again, we have not implemented any programs in this regard. Possibly it's something that can be looked at going into the future. So I think the main issue around housing would be that, as I said, our applications are done from universities. So Gauteng would have more universities, as it were. And firstly, young people must first be admitted by the university before they can apply for the scholarship fund. What could also be playing out here is that maybe those young people in urban areas are able to apply in time for many reasons. You know, access to information and so forth. And so I mean, there's a variety of issues that can be raised there. But it's probably something that we need to look at moving forward to see how we can assist young people from other provinces to apply in universities and get admission time and all those kinds of things. But also maybe there's also a need for a greater popularization of the program. Maybe amongst young people in rural areas, which we'll look at moving forward. The CETAs, we would appreciate the support with the CETAs in terms of working with them. We've been working with some of them, specifically the construction CETA. We've worked with them in the last 3 years. Services CETA, we've worked with them as well. We've just signed an agreement recently now with local government CETA as well. We'll be running an internship program together. We should be implementing it now in the month of June moving forward. But broadly speaking, we see the value in the partnerships with the CETA, and that support will be definitely appreciated. Mentorship beyond 2 years, that's our structural program, that we mentor and support for 2 years. Beyond that point, you know, we think that those businesses are now able to stand on their own and whatever else, but maybe there is a need to, from time to time, to just go and check, as it were. The contribution, really, whether these funded businesses are making a dent, we see through our monthly site visits, where we're able to check, is the business still operating okay? How many jobs have you now created, if the business has grown and all those kind of things, or whether you are going backwards. Now, previously you had 5 employees or 2 employees, now you have 1. We will look at those particular things, and the idea really is to try and then say, what are the reasons why you are going backwards, and then we'll try and intervene where possible to try and assist these on enterprises. And lastly, the issue of the national colors, the symbols, the flag, the anthem, and all that. There is a program that we just partnered now with the Department of Art and Culture at a national level, where we are training, they call them
young
patriots, across the country. You know, they will be trained on these things of national colors, the flag, the symbols, and all that. And the idea is, you train them so that they can be redeployed in their own communities. So they're recruited from online provinces. The recruitment process was done with the provincial Department of Art and Culture, specifically working with the MECs that are responsible for art and culture in provinces. The idea is, once these patriots have gone through the program, they will be deployed back to their own communities. Then they will go to schools in their own areas, in their own districts, and they will be training others on what they've been trained, and training students in particular, about these very important issues around patriotism, but also understanding who we are as a nation. And I'll leave it there and just ask Ms. Mbakel to quickly speak on the criteria for the grant funding, and then the chair and the chair will conclude.
Before that, Mr. Mbakel, you know, when I raise the issue of the national anthem, it's not about knowing the national anthem. Is the intended behavior thereof, which means there's other programs that need to be incorporated. But also what we tend to be known as South Africans, hopefully
not including RK in this room, is to launch and leave and make issues like an event. You are youth ambassadors that have been there, but it had, and I think the NYA leadership also must pick up those things, so that also those youth ambassadors, they get accountable somewhere. They must be and monitor whether is there value for money, so to speak, other than more of creating a buzz, which doesn't give us the intended result. The other one, that in terms of Mrs. before you respond, is the issue of the criteria that Honorable van der Vaart raised. Is that also, I think it was 2 years back in 2015, we discovered during our oversight that if you are blacklisted as a young person, you don't even qualify to get a grant. And our issue there at that time, which I hope you have addressed, but moving forward you will respond when you come back, is that if a young person has been in university for argument's sake and she owes something, or for whatever reason, because she couldn't afford to buy a laptop, but she bought a phone from PEP, and then couldn't afford, because you know the sort of what is called tempted black tax, so to speak, but also it's, and we must change it in the black tax, probably it's multicolor tax for young people that they have to sustain their siblings and all that. But also then, if they want them now to be fully established as young people contributing to the economy, they get blacklisted. And we say there must be a criteria and a rationale to say, which accounts are those ones? Were they contributing in her or his well-being, or it was a nice thing to have, the ones they have engaged on, which we find that is very unfortunate that we do have that policy that in terms of taking the box that talks to that. For the grants in particular, I think all you are aware of that one. I know you justified it in 2015, but still we did advise you, it cannot be justified. You can't justify that. There's something wrong with that. Because we can't talk about economic transformation, equal opportunities, radical economic transformation, and you still have got that for grant purposes. There is something wrong with that. But also the issue of disability. For the benefit of Ms. Mpahlele and also the board, chairperson and CEO, it's not about, a portion that tends to suggest that we're doing a favor for people living with disabilities. They are equal communities of South Africans. So in any event, they should be embedded within our program. Not as, by the way, the issues of women in particular, although we're happy that they are the ones that are successful in terms of post 2 years, that they sustain their business, but also there must be, we must also, we are going to be paying attention, how many women have benefited and which areas are those ones. Are those the nice things to have, which that doesn't necessarily add value in terms of economic transformation, landscape change, and all this? But I'm saying the point of people living with disabilities are not only the blind, there are different categories of people living with disabilities that would love also as the agency to pay attention to those, so that because they do have a spillover in terms of general society as well. So I thought I must clarify that one there. It's unfortunate if then KCO you have never paid attention, because it's one of our priorities as this current administration that people live with disability skills, economic transformation, you know, those other things that we should be. Those are the things that are not nice to have, even we review your plan, but they still have to find its expression in terms of your plans as it were. I thought I must just amplify so that probably you misunderstood the issue that we're raising on that one. That will, Ms. Mpahlele, is over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson. The criteria for the grant program is aligned to all the other criteria for assisting NYDA in products and services. A young person between the ages of 18 to 35, particularly for the grant program. This young person must have an idea of starting a business on paper, which they can take to a branch where it will be assessed and they will be advised accordingly. There's only three exclusions as to what they can apply for. It's something to do with trading in alcohol, something to do in, to be involved in sex and trading, those kind of things, and property. Property because of the capital outlay that is needed in that sector. But other than those three, young people are more than welcome to submit any idea in any area of their interest, and it will be assessed accordingly.
The blacklisting policy?
The blacklisting, the policy has been put in place, it has been dealt with. So there is no more requirement that if you're blacklisted, you will not be funded. It will still be there in the application, just so that when the young person is assessed, the officer knows then what type of mentorship is going to go with this business in terms of advising on budgeting, paying off your expenses, and so on and so forth. That is how far it goes at the moment. So it has been addressed. We have segregated also the information of who has been funded by category, and I think this is part of the information that we can submit later to the committee, showing by disability, women, and again, in what sectors of the economy. I think construction also predominates as one of the leading areas that young people are participating in. So I think that's really important here.
Okay. We are done then. Okay, yes. Over to you, Deputy Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'll just speak to...
Oh, before that, Deputy Chair, just another one. The issue of also the road shows that you'll be embarking on, the other ones are going to be international road shows. What would love also to see value add for international trips and the accords that you would have signed, the existing ones, also look at that one, and also so that also we can give South Africans the hope that when we go to this symposium, international road shows, I'll call them like for a better word, that there is value for money for that, and also which will talk to the partnership that we have created with those companies or bodies internationally, but also the linkages in terms of here, the companies that the CEO spoke about. I know that he spoke about the price and all those things that in terms of your those ones who undergo internship, is there any delivery that you can quantify in terms of the intake of those young people? It will have moving forward, well, not necessarily to respond today, but I'm saying those are the other areas that you would have much interest. But the very interesting one, on a lighter note, that CE, you said you had also a partnership program with SAP. I think SAP is one that is legal, but also here in terms of qualification, you don't allow young people, you don't give them grants to open alcohol taverns, which is a good thing. But your programs, you can't have a smoking company to say people must stop smoking, but also that program is embarked and championed financially by the person that sells cigarettes and all that. But I'm just saying that there are some contradictions there, but I know that because of limited money, you embark on that process. So you cannot be double-tanked on those programs. Chair.
I was going to start on that one, because I know that the alcohol companies in South Africa, they have a responsibility to actually go back to communities and speak directly to responsible drinking, etc. So it's possible for us to have those kind of partnerships, and they put aside budget. And I think they have an association of some sort as well. There is running such programs. So it is expected that we'll have such partnerships, particularly with young people drinking so much.
See
our program.
I think
kind of let me start on the blacklisting one. I think the issue that GT has been removed from college. I think even in the forms, probably how we communicate it, because you obviously want to assess and don't just apply blanket approach. Probably even in the form where it appears, we must have a better way of how to communicate it there, so that when the person looks at the form does not think, ah, I can't apply because myself I've had a blacklisted. We must have a way of assessing and making it clear that we will assess. On criteria for the political affiliation, NYDA is about youth, not youth of political parties. So when a person comes to the NYDA, they come to where they all belong, we don't have political lines there, we don't have political colors, we have the NYDA.
And we ensure that it continues as such.
We will ensure that it continues as such. In fact, I can attest that this appointment, one has been speaking to all different types of youth, even on your social networks, even the inboxes are coming from all youth across party lines. So it's not an, I think there is an understanding, it's just that we need to make sure that we emphasize with everyone. And there's also an understanding from young people that it's not about where you come from politically, it's about youth development. And I can say that in May, speaking to youth that is that comes from a particular area in KwaZulu-Natal that is not necessarily affiliated in the same party as I am, and we're discussing issues of youth development and how we can assist them. So it's something that is already there, but we continue and make sure that it's properly emphasized. And we know that in the criteria there's no such as to say. There was an issue on IDA youth directory. Each, let's say for instance, a Department of Social Development, if you look at Department of Social Development and you look at the youth directory, you look at a directory that will attend to issues of supporting NPOs that deals with youth development, with social development related issues and programs, and you will also deal with capacitating them, giving them in that particular space. And I think we do have two, at least I know of two, particularly because I'm from Kenya, and I know of two properly functioning youth directorates in the government department. The Department of Economic Development in KZN has a fully functional youth directorate, and the DSD, the health as well, actually, and the health as well. There are programs that would be specific to departments, and you can always, when you have a directorate, you can actually maximize in terms of ensuring that the young people are involved in that particular area. So when we look at particularly directorate in the national department, we want to be able to say, if you speak to economic development, those people in the directorate must be able to speak directly to issues of the youth output commitment, the priorities that will be setting out in terms of development annually, and all those things, so that we see implementation at that level, because also there must be a level of implementation. But what we can always do, which I think is within our reach, is to actually sit with our mother department, the DPME, and draft a framework of what a youth directorate should be able to attend to. Then will be applicable across departments. I think that will assist in terms of ensuring that we are able to achieve all the things that needs to be achieved. I think most of the other things were really, the issue of perception again. All of them are mostly on ongoing work, and some of the advices that you guys have put on the table we are taking. On issues of the perception, we really need to really go deep back on what the NYDA has done, because there's a lot of work that has been done that has affected youth across color lines, across party lines, across everything, and bring it to the fore. And it means, when we're discussing with the chair, the Honda, we're saying it means then we must look at our communication department and properly capacitated so that we are able to draw there all the work that has been done and bring it to the fore, but also in whatever that we'll be doing going forward, make sure that it's in the public eye. Because it's pointless for the NYDA to exist, do good work, but sit in a corner there where no one knows, only those affected knows what happened. So we will actually do that. And on the issue of the roadshows, like you were saying, it's an advice going forward, we'll look into that and how do we add value on all those roadshows. I think locally it's really dealing with bringing the NYDA to the young people, getting their own feel, and some of the problems that would be specific to their areas. Because there are problems that you look at and think, oh, this one would apply across provinces. But there are that are specific to certain provinces. So we look into that. The international one will surely be looking at what can we assist our young people to be able to achieve in that particular space. And I think the other one that is also important, is that in the space of the African continent as well, how do we create relations across countries in the African continent to ensure that as young people we are able to build for our own future in terms of enterprise development, skills, etc. So I think we'll be able to actually to do some work on that. There's quite a lot of, okay, there's also issues of MOUs. I think we'll have to forge a lot of working relations with different departments, CETAs, SOEs as well, private sector. So the ones that are here will be working, that are already existing, will make sure that they continue to work, but then we'll be approaching more people. But I think I like what you guys said to us, that you also will be able to ask
them. If you hear that, you guys, go to the H.
sorry, you honorable people. But yeah, so so it's fine, we'll correct the language as we go along. We are young, we are very young.
Perhaps we can have a second chance campaign.
we'll have a second chance campaign here now on the language. Okay, I'll appreciate that. But I think we'll appreciate more relations with CETAs. I mean, there's manufacturing sector, we must be able to get into that space as well. There's many other sectors that are available that I'm sure with the assistance of this portfolio committee we can be able to access as well, put forward. We really appreciate that. And as far as I know that in different universities where students did not qualify, they appeared. I think it should just be an issue of we agree whether it's us as the MIDA that can just have the conversation with universities to get their reports and understand, because most of the work before the centralization was done at the university level. Look at those particular reports, but probably agree also with NYDA, I mean with NSFAS, in terms of those appeal reports with the new system, which is the centralized applications process, and see whether there's any, you know, traction there. Are people getting are young people getting assisted in terms of those particular appeals? I know you are working very well in the university space, other than before. They will have SRCs, and the universities will have appeals committees. So when the SRCs will come and present on behalf of the students, that look, this particular student is in the application, had submitted this documentation and did not qualify, but then these are other information, this is another information that was not part of the application. But with the centralized application, I'm not sure, but we can only agree between us and GPMU on new approaches, the next part, and the practical information, and maybe we can get quickly.
Deputy Chair, when you have finished, you say thank you so that the Chair can know from this side.
Thank you.
Okay. Chair?
No, Honourable Chair, thank you very much. Honourable Members. Look, I think most have been covered, but I think we take the advice that Honourable Members have given us. But I think, just to go back a little bit, Honourable Chair, there's a remark we made about rocking the boat or not. I think the point that we're attempting to make was that what works will remain. I think we are in the space of what we think is not impactful, and I think that's where we're going to play our role. We don't think that, you know, normally when there's a new board, there's a thinking that this new board comes with its own, you know, the CEO must go away, we're going to put another CEO. That's our own view of rocking that boat. We are saying what works, must continue. Who'd want to see clean audits, who'd want to see the governance systems be in place. We don't want to regret that. We are very serious about it. But having said that, the NYDA must go back to its primary stakeholders. By the end of this term, every young person in this country must be able to say, here's an office of the NYDA, or here's an access point for information, and this is how, you know, the NYDA has been able to assist. You know, on the issue of communication as well, Chair, we already in the immediate set, we are going to talk to community-based media. And I think we've been doing that over the last 2 weeks. Community-based radio stations, community-based newspapers, television. Because what we picked up is that at one time, those community-based media reached 10 million people, you know? Because sometimes mainstream media, we communicate these things in mainstream media. We go and speak on a channel there that only appears on DSTV. And we think that we're communicating programs of young people. So that's another strategy that we've already put in place. But as I said before, we will travel a lot. We are going to go to every corner. So the committee must know it, that we'll be everywhere. But on this issue of the issue of the drug strategy, I think it's one issue that we're taking to stress. Because we can't have a program that does not speak to that, especially given the fact that the issue of drug abuse is very dire in the country. We must have a campaign specifically speaking to issues of drug abuse. Honorable members are raising the issue of Nyaope. There's Mercedes, for instance, in KwaZulu-Natal. There's one called Mercedes. You know, it's got a lot of fancy names. There's one called Wunga as well, you know. So as a youth agency, we must be able to speak unto that and say, how do we ensure? But also, with the current resources that are there, our real obsession is to make sure that we produce as many branches as possible. I'm quite encouraged, Chair, already on Friday, on the 9th, we'll be launching an office in Delmas, in Mpumalanga, for instance. So, these are the programs that we want to run out. In the Western Cape, there needs to be more branches. You can't have one branch in Cape Town and that's it, and accept that particular thing, you know? There must be branches in the Poland, there must be branches in the Karoo, there must be branches in the Eden District or in the Southern Cape. And Chair, I also want, I'm falling in love with your suggestion. Not necessarily with you, with your suggestion.
I see you're
blushing a little bit. I withdraw, Chair.
Second, Chair.
Yes, okay, we this issue of the curriculum, particularly at the secondary and tertiary level, especially around issues of driver's license, I think it's one issue that we must begin to have a conversation, particularly with basic education.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, today when you speak about unemployed graduates, for instance, you find that some of them cannot even get a job purely because they don't have a driver's license. They've got the qualification, but they don't have a driver's license. So I believe that it's something that we must look into it. But another thing that I think we would want support from the committee. You know, Chair, we are not calling out certain culprits on the issue of youth unemployment. Young people continue to be told that even if you've got a qualification, you can't be employed because you don't have experience. And we're allowing this thing to continue. There has been various incentives, the tax incentives and so on, youth wage subsidy. But even when government puts incentives, we still have a problem where young graduates are even found in street corners holding placards to say, I've got a qualification in this and that, and I'm not getting jobs. Now, we need to have a conversation on this one and say, especially the private sector, to say, this excuse of experience, because from where I'm sitting, it's becoming now an excuse to keep these young people outside, you know. It really needs to start being addressed. These young people need to be absorbed. But lastly, Chair, one of the things we'll be driving from the office of the Chair in the immediate, we are going to meet all youth formation before the end of youth month, all of them. We are going to convene them on two things. One, obviously, the issue of, because the Act itself is undergoing, you know, the process of being changed from Section 75 to 76. So we then need that particular issue. There's the issue of the integrated youth development strategy, which these youth formations must make an impact on. But quite importantly, the program that we'll adopt this week, we want it to be a program that will be owned by young people in South Africa. It must not be a program of the NYDA board alone. There must be a buy-in, because we believe that as much as we will come from different, you know, political divides, young people have got one shared common destiny that all of us believe should be, you know. So the NYDA board by itself is a constituency-based board. So, of course, that perception would be there that, you know, there's this and that political organization. But I think one of the things that we're going to be doing is to convene these young people and really speak to them. We hope that even honorable members will then encourage even their own youth formations to really come in and engage us on this particular issue. But at the same time, Honorable Mutau spoke about the missing middle. You know, there's a sector of young people that we don't really speak to or speak about. We tend to speak about, yes, very importantly, youth that is unemployed and so on. But there's young people in the arts and culture space. There's young people in the sports and recreational space. You know, at one point in our country, our national teams were the pride. You know, we're winning almost everything in soccer, in rugby. Then somehow there was a decline. We are not talking to issues of how do we think about sports and recreation in the rural areas, in the township. How do we ensure that talent is identified and nurtured? How do we ensure that we feed into the national space around issues of sports and recreation? But also, those people in the arts and culture. You know, you've got a lot of musicians, actors, and so on and so on. Those people are faced also with their own challenges there. We tend to see these people on screen, we see them on television, then we tend to think that these people are living good lives. But actually, there's a lot of challenges there. So those are other people that will actually want to engage with. To say, yes, these are the programs that we have, but how do we engage people in the arts and culture space? How do we engage people in the sports and recreational space? So that young people are able to engage them as a collective and we're able to unite them and take them forward as a nation. I'll stop there, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And I'm sure we say people with disabilities also do include, which is fashionable now, which should be dealt with while it's still early, the issue of young women abuse in all forms. And I think within your mind of your root shoes also, you must elevate that one, but not as an event, as an ongoing concern activity, as it were. With that, honorable members, you agree with me that, before, honorable members.
Thank you, Chair. I just want a written response. Don't have to answer now. The 15 branches of the NYDA that you mentioned now, where are they? So you can just give the where they are provinces written response. I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Probably just for that one, can you assist us, NYDA, to resubmit those reports that we requested before our budget debate? Because those reports does have this response as well, just to make sure that all members, they do have that. Electronic and not hard copies, please. And also, it must be a program that is we're able to open it. I know with one of the presentations, we had an issue around that. Honorable members, I think we had a very robust, we have taken notes in terms of the issues that you have committed to yourself as the new board moving forward. We will be monitoring the space on those issues, that you are able to walk the talk. And also, we are, in 2 weeks' time, going to be expecting written response in all areas that you have asked, so that we can monitor and see when we assess you next time we are able to deal with that. Honourable members, may I then, Honourable Castillo, if it's fine with you, why I'm singing out is because the journal is slightly late. I don't want to for you to miss this one. But also, Chair, the other one that you can do us, because we have segmented ourselves as committee members. I know Honourable Kasim and Honourable Marvin Dex, who is not who have forwarded his apology. They are more specifically dealing with the youth matters, and the rest of us were dealing then with DPNC and DPSA and other entities and SSA and so forth. If it happens to be in our provinces, just a notice, not necessarily that we are compelled to come, but it could be a nice thing when it's within our constituencies also. That collaboration and support from the Popolopon point of view could be seen outside there. It will really encourage young people. Honourable member, just say point nine. I will request that you will just in terms of the oversight program, draft oversight program. I know that we have what informs that draft oversight report program is what we have received from the Public Service Commission and PPSA. Dr. Ntwiki, we are very much discouraged by your department. We did request that both departments must forward us areas that would love us when we go for the oversight, not necessarily the areas that the minister has gone through for oversight, but those ones haven't been attended to, i.e. specifically on the frontline service, noting that also we are dealing with the presidential hotline as it were. So we would like to give you a mandate that by Friday we should have received that with areas. We raised it last time, even when we were engaging on the annual plans as it were, when we are dealing with the budget, that we haven't received that one. Would love that you do finish up those areas in terms of provinces. The program, that draft program, you get it, you know that you are going to only three, how many provinces? It's three states only. If you can focus on three states, which areas that you would like the portfolio committee in support so that you can come with the recommendation? Or you want to chip in on that?
Just for clarity, Chairperson, like the previous visit, oversight visit that the committee did, where we supplied errors, MPET, and what was it, something like that again?
We are a fast learner.
Okay.
We'll communicate through my old Julia. So, I'm just thinking it's the same difference for both them, Gonzile and the Dr. But I'll allow you later, Mr. Mark. But also, administratively, we were, I don't know, with your communication with the chair, we were expecting moving forward as from now, we will get that template of tracking tool. If we can have that one, honorable members, my colleague is pointing out the tracking tool at his left hand, but I'm sure that it will be circulated to us. And the reason is that that tracking tool, just to recap, it captures all the decisions that we have made. But also what I would love, that we insert whatever decisions we have made in a sitting meeting, even the turnaround time, so that when you come back also, we don't get angry with the department, but it will help us as members. The other one that I will request that administration also circulate a draft incoming term program. Because there are those compliance program activities that we must engage on, but also based on our tracking system tools, there are activities that we need to insert, which will be deciding factor whether we have one meeting per week or two meetings per week, so that also we do have more time to deal with the other issues that we must look at as a committee. With that, I would just quickly ask Mr. Mwapi just to take us through that, noting that then PPSE will be coming up with some other issues. But members, if there are other areas within the province that you think we must focus on, please also indicate at a later stage. Hopefully, it will be advisable that by not later than Friday also we input to that.
Well, thank you, Chairperson, and good afternoon, honorable members and colleagues. The committee is planning to undertake an oversight that week of the 25th to the 30th of 2023. until the end of the month. And we are planning to visit the Free State province this time, only one province. As you remember that last time we did two provinces and it was stretching the community. So this time we then prepared to do it in one province, spend the whole week in one province. Well, on the 26th, of which is the first day on Monday, we'll have a meeting with the Office of the Premier, as they are responsible for the provincial impact. I think that's where Dr. Nziki fit in, the DPME. We'll expect a presentation by the province, not by the DPME nationally, because we understand that it is a provincial impact. So we want to get such a report. And then with regard to the Department of Public Service and Administration, of which we still request, we'll be requesting the province to provide the committee with the status of service delivery improvement plan and the security centers in the province. And then again, we've got the Public Service Commission that is existing in the province. The intention there is to request the Public Service Commission to provide us with a brief in terms of the status quo with regard to the implementation of those basic principles and values that are enshrined in the Constitution. And then we are expecting a report from the Provincial Public Service Commission on the inspection conducted in the province. That will be the first day. In fact, the first day is an indoor meeting. Mm-hmm. We are not visiting any site. And on the second day, on the 27th, we were anticipating to visit Kopanong Prison Service Center, but I've just consulted with Honorable Don Bella this morning. Then he advised that it's far out of the city. So what will happen is that we are no longer going to visit Kopanong Prison Service Center, but we'll visit on that day, then we'll visit the NYDA branch office and youth build program in Bloemfontein on the 27th. And the expectation out of that, of the purpose, is the engagement with the NYDA branch office on youth program and the success and the challenges thereof, in particular in the Bloemfontein area. And then we will be visiting Department of Home Affairs right in Bloemfontein for the purpose of frontline services and queue management in various units, and members will then interact with the recipients of services. And we'll move on the very same day, we'll go to the university's academic hospital, which is located in Bloemfontein, for an announced visit. And on the 28th, then we will be in Bochabelo Prison Service Center. Again, it's about the different services that are being offered in the Prison Service Center. And then we'll then move after that to Bochabelo Youth Center, whereby then we want to check, because this just a youth is not aligned to NYDA, but wanted to check whether they are getting support from the NYD in terms of supporting them with the youth development programs within that which I will present. And we'll then move to Dr. J.S. Moroka Hospital for frontline services and to monitor the queue management in various units and allow members then to interact with the recipients of services. And then after that, then we'll drive to Maseru Border Post. This is one of the areas that was forwarded by the Public Service Commission. They've done some work. There's a report that they've already submitted to Parliament. So what would be guided by the Public Service Commission on this particular matter? What are the issues there? And on the 29th, then we'll be in Belgium. Our focus will be on the distressed mining towns, of which on this area, we're still waiting for the DMA to provide us rich areas and all the housing and all other stuff in terms of the activities around development. We don't know exactly where, but we know that they are mining around Tembo. So we are hoping that DPME will then guide us in terms of which areas do they think that we should visit. So that will be the
development. But on that one, don't take us to a housing development, unoccupied houses, because that's not our era of oversight. I think because last time, because it tends to overlap, then we tend to confuse it in the official.
And then again, based on the advice of Honorable Dombela, we were supposed to visit Tiritona Prison Service Center, but then we will visit that Prison Service Center on the last day, which will be on a Friday.
Which is 8 years.
Which is 8 years. And then we've got Velcom. Again, we'll visit Bongani Regional Hospital because we're expecting more activities on the distressed mining town. It means that if the DKME provide us with information, then we'll be the main focus on that day is on the distressed mining towns. And then we'll end up with the Bongani Regional Hospital just to monitor the frontline management. And then on the 30th, of which is the last day, we'll be in Kronstadt, one of the hospitals, with Dumen Regional Hospital. It's an announced visit. And then followed by that Kiritona Tuesday Service Center. Then that will be the end of our oversight.
Okay. Here we are, honorable members, and I'll repeat that when DPME gives us those areas, it shouldn't be the ones that there are other line departments that are responsible for that, because our role and oversight in terms of the more working customer interaction or community interaction as it were, in terms of the services that are provided. How do they feel the services that are being provided by government, various government departments? With that, honorable members, so we'll move through the wires so that we can improve where we feel like all of us, and I will ask that all members, honorable Kasim, please join us this time around. I know you were busy last time with your national issues in Western Cape, which I congratulate you on the outcomes of that you do. No, I was saying that if we were busy with it, there were other things that we were busy. I can't remember what was it, but I'm just saying that I'll make the same call also with honorable Marvin Day also, especially because we'll be going to the NYDA area. And also, like Honorable Mwabe, if you can confirm early that you are going to be available on which days for the smooth administration preparations as well, it will help. I know that in terms of the DA in particular also, I must just raise this one very quick that, Mascola, can you ensure that you verify that one in terms of the alternate members? Because we had an engagement on that, and I know that from the chair and yourself, administrator, we had a different, what you call it, understanding, which we hope that it should be clarified, and they should be part of that, because there's no committee policy that have changed. I know at last time I was sitting in communication, I was an alternate, but I was a full-time alternate. I used to attend all the oversight, programs and all that. So it shouldn't be an issue, because then it disadvantages some of your members. But I would urge that you do send us a communique so that members can confirm with a certain close date, so that we know that these are the members, so that we don't commit financially and then members then cancel it at a late stage. Is that okay, honorable members, if you take it in within that spirit? With that, honorable members and colleagues at my right, if we can chairperson, so when I say colleagues, I mean this side, this side, honorable members. So you will know that it includes you if I say colleagues. That brings us to the end of our meeting. It has been quite a slightly longer meeting than expected, but which was good and so forth. All the best for the week ahead, and may God bless all of us. Thank you.